latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. Attorney General Eric Holder set to propose major changes in the federal criminal justice system. It's aimed in part at alleviating overcrowding in the prisons.
Prison beds in the U.S. are filled with people who faced mandatory minimum sentences, even for minor drug possession. Attorney General Eric Holder today proposes to the American Bar Association those laws from the 1980s should be reversed. It suggests that nonviolent offenders be steered towards rehab instead.
Federal judge says New York City has violated the civil rights of tens of thousands of residents with its company-based policy. Judges in the home target minorities.
What am I supposed to do?
Many parts of the country are flooded and more rain is in the forecast. Manitou Springs, Colorado, one person is dead and another missing.
A huge factor in why this all happened, the Waldo Canyon fire of last year. That area is completely scarred by the burn, and that effect's been so big. This is the third and worst of the year.
Meteorologist Peter Z. In Johnson, Rhode Island, Daniel Rodriguez is in charge of the murder, burglary, and kidnapping of the death of a woman and her daughter. The daughter's 2-year-old son was killed and found dead.
Out of your bank account, ruin your credit, or even drain the equity in your home. Identity theft has become so common. Don't make the mistake of thinking it'll never happen to you. You need LifeLock Ultimate, the most comprehensive identity theft protection available. Not only does it help guard your identity, your good name and credit, but LifeLock Ultimate even monitors your bank account to deal with fraud. Your digital life is far too important to give up. Instead, arm yourself with LifeLock Ultimate protection. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. Network cover all transactions and simply vary. Bank account alerts require LifeLock Ultimate membership.
The sinkhole is threatening a resort in Central Florida.
Vacationers evacuated the Summer Bay Resort in Orlando, which is being swallowed by a sinkhole.
Three-story
villa partially collapsed.
One person had to break out of the window. The door
there were no injuries. The sinkhole was sometimes
attorneys in a very wrong world, you need a
a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Gentlemen, we are here today putting on the show of Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. And for one of the few times, we're doing it with no female participation on a Monday. This, gentlemen, is our finest hour.
You know why it's our finest hour, though, right?
No, why is that?
Because the 2 out of 3 hours are still going to be influenced by Tracy.
So
she's got that reach, you know. You don't know.
Oh, she's there somewhere, I know.
Yeah. And just don't put us up on the internet. That way she can't hear us in California.
Oh, it's too late. We're there.
She's listening, man.
Can we change the phone number so she can't call
no,
in?
No, we can't. We can't, man. We're done.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends and myself, Jeff Sticks, and Ben in the air chair today. We're talking to you about what's on your mind. And we want to hear from you, so give us a call here at 330-781-9600. Also at 1-345-947-5229 on our unlimited internet access phone number. So we would like to see. Yes, I would like some tea with that accent, Matt.
Would you like a spot tea?
A spot of tea, yes. Blimey, yeah, mate, I sure would like to. Okay? So anyway, we're going to have some fun here today, but we want to talk to you about what's on your mind. And, of course, you listen to what's on our mind as well. And so while we have the air, let's go ahead and let's get into this particular week, and we'll talk about all kind of things today. Whatever is on your mind, you can do it because it's open line, open mic Monday.
And we have to mention the most historical, most unprecedented event in history happened late last week. The Browns won.
The Browns won. And
I mean, that's like, you know, that's like seeing a solar and lunar eclipse at the same time.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Steelers lost.
That's why we're saying it's unprecedented.
I tried to tell you what was getting ready to happen, man. You just up there not knowing what's up. So I told you. Now, I am predicting this year.
So it is the end of the world, then.
No, it is. It is for the local Pittsburgh Squealer fans, because you all are going to get butt kickings this year for first time in a long time.
Well, you're going to have to tell us what that feels like, because we're unfamiliar with
far. We're not going to tell you anything. We want you to experience it all.
Seriously, is that why you have trouble sitting down on Monday after when football season starts?
Man, please. Now, I haven't won in many, many years, so, you know, I'm looking forward because we look good, except our running game was still weak.
So are you going to bring the pillow in for us to sit down? Or
yeah,
we
no,
use
no,
the
no,
one
no,
that
no,
you
no.
had?
You sit in the seat just like I sat in the seat. But it's not here yet. I could always be wrong. You know, you can't never tell. But those brownies looked pretty good the other night.
So not being a football fan, what did Bernie Kosar do?
He was a quarterback.
No. This weekend, and something about in the and he,
oh, I don't know.
He was talking, trash talking the Browns or something in the booth. I heard.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Bernie's
a little bit out there right now. Let's just put it that way.
I mean, yeah. I never was a Bernie fan. You know, at all. I'm looking that up.
He's gone down the road of Joe Namath.
He was no Brian Sipe. No, you can't even put him next to Joe Namath.
No. Joe Namath's drinking problem.
Oh,
is it
yeah,
possible
yeah.
he was
drinking?
Inebriated.
Well, let's just say he was under the influence. What we don't know.
Okay.
I mean, even if it was under hypnotic influence, he wasn't in his right mind there. But what can I say? It's hard to criticize a local hero like him, but.
Oh, it's not hard for me.
Yeah, he went from hero to zero.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think he was a zero when he was the quarterback for the Browns. He was not that good. He was slow as all get out. And then unless he put his hand all the way back down to the ground, he couldn't throw a pass. That's why they never did really do anything up under Bernie.
Well, they had two 100 or 1,000 yard running backs.
Because they had ends.
They had to.
Yeah, because they had ends that evidently had stick 'em on their hands.
Yeah.
Because you know the ball wasn't getting there right.
You know what? In his defense, it is really really tough to play in Cleveland in winter when those winds are howling off the lake there. I mean,
New England does.
Well, listen, they're not by a big lake, and you know how the wind used to swirl on that stadium up there.
New England, Green Bay.
Well, Green Bay plays inside now. That's the you know so.
Well, but think about it. New England,
Minnesota plays
Buffalo,
inside now.
Buffalo.
And look at Buffalo's record.
Right on Lake Erie.
Yeah, and they're right up there with the Browns when it comes to the record the last 20 years.
Okay, we're going to see.
I mean, seriously. I mean, when have you seen that? I think the Cleveland has been in the playoffs more recent than the Bills have.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh man, we got people wanting to say something about this. I'm going to pick up my man from last week. I didn't get to, I don't think.
Well, yeah, I can understand. But I bet you a bunch of Cleveland fans are going to call him today because any win for them is like a Super Bowl win.
330-207, you're in there.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
What's going on, Rich?
Nothing, man. I'm glad to see you talking to your friend right there about the Cleveland Browns, Jeff. All we got to do is tell people, watch, I'm telling everybody, I talked on another sports show, and I'm telling you, man, watch the Cleveland Browns this year. Watch these cats, man. They got a
team.
Listen,
nobody wants the Browns to win more than I do.
I've been up at their practice.
Nobody. Well, you know how much money I would make if they win?
Mm-mm.
I mean, you know how much a 50-cent bet will get you on the Cleveland Browns winning the Super Bowl in Vegas?
Oh, there we go.
I mean, I clean up. I'll make about $20,000 off of that bet.
They're going to win. It's not. I mean, I'm just saying they're going to be winning games. It's your Steelers. That aren't going to be nothing. The Steelers and the Ravens aren't going to be nothing. And I'll bet you a cup of coffee on that right there. That's a fact. They're not going to be as good as what people think they used to be. They're not.
I'm not going to take. I ain't going to take away from the Ravens. I think the Ravens will still be.
No, the Ravens aren't going to be that good.
They lost half their defense.
Ravens aren't going
to
be that good. Both the Steelers and the Ravens both have lost too much. They're rebuilding, man. I tell you what. Big Ben, he gonna take a punishment if that offensive line doesn't really get good. I ain't talking about just better. I'm talking about good. He gonna get pounded this year. He might not even finish the season, Matt, because their offensive line sucks.
It's one of the youngest offensive lines in the NFL right now.
No excuses. No excuses.
It's not an excuse. It's a fact.
It's just time for them to get pounded. That's all.
Yeah,
it's their time now.
Right.
Everything
right.
changed. I told you that. I told you that, Ben, a long time ago about that. Don't nothing stay the same, man. Always remember that. Nothing stays the same.
Nothing. But nothing's going to take away those six Super Bowl victories.
Here we go with that.
That's
and that's the same thing.
I ain't thinking about what they did. I'm talking about what's happening right now.
Reds, check it out. check it out. Now, when there was just the championship before the Super Bowl, they didn't.
Right.
They still ain't won as many as what we won.
Well,
so
that's very true.
They're just squealers. That's all you can say. It's the Pittsburgh squealers.
That's right, and they are squealers, Jeff. They
are,
my
they
brother.
Are.
They are. They are. That's all I say again. Watch the Cleveland Browns this year, buddy, because we're going to spank Pittsburgh. I can't hardly wait.
Both
I can't.
Games.
I'm drooling at your mouth.
I'm predicting both games. But hold on.
We,
no, no, no,
we
Matt.
Very well may do. We
Matt.
Very well may do. I can't wait. I can't
Matt.
Wait.
Matt.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's up, Jeff?
You, man.
Hey, I am quite possibly one of the most negative Cleveland fans you'll ever find, okay? I always tell people, I said, I'll bring a VCR and a TV to the game so I could watch the exact same game from 5 years ago. All right, I'm that guy.
That this year.
But that being said, I went to this past game, and I can
I'm
not so sure about you know, how good players are right now or not, but I will tell you the overwhelming positive that this team showed game one, preseason game one. It was the absolute the conversations between players and coaches. There were very few mistakes, and the mistakes that did happened towards
right.
the end of the game when you were dealing with four-string players. But the communication was there. There were no mistakes that I saw. Everybody knew what the game plan was, and they followed it. This is the first time since the Cleveland Browns have been back that I have seen them not look like a bunch of jackasses on the field
right.
and lose because
Me
of
too.
That. And I'll tell you what.
That's very true. You're right.
Hold
I have
on,
to
Red.
Agree with you all the way.
Red, you're right in the middle.
Okay. Yep.
If we run 500 this year, I wouldn't be surprised just because of the communication and the understanding between player and coach.
Okay.
And I saw a whole lot of new plays this time.
Well, I think the Browns will actually have a winning season this year. I think they'll be 10-6.
They are going to have one. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. And
they
are. If not because that they've improved so much talent wise. Granted, they have improved, but the strength of schedule. I mean, they are playing the weakest teams in the league this year.
Well,
so I think
they
should
as long
be
they
very,
win.
Very well. Pittsburgh has a pretty weak schedule too now. You know, so
well,
I think Pittsburgh will maybe 10-6 too.
Pretty close
no,
to the same schedule.
No, they don't.
Yeah, yes, they do. With the exception of one,
they play
outside their division. Yes, they do. Yes, they
no,
do.
No, I'm sitting up here reading the schedule, and you'll notice there'll be three or four games that are not the same.
We're going to settle this once and for all. Hold on, Rich.
Yeah, I can prove you wrong, Rich. Sorry.
My buddy plays for the Browns.
Yeah, so does mine. He's the offensive lineman. He's my customer.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Well,
yeah, so, yeah,
the
so I mean, you know, really,
the defensive
they do
tackle
play a lot of teams the same.
Is right from
okay.
the park, and I knew him when he was playing for Mooney, and he was playing in Little League. I go to the
right,
game. That's why I go to all the games now.
All right, this is what we're going to do.
Just look up the schedule,
Rich. Listen, I'm going to get those schedules before the end of the day. We're going to look and see who got what. So let's not argue this point. So, Matt, hold on a second. 440, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Look, Browns fans, I am a Browns fan, no doubt. I'm a Cleveland sports fan. But please, please, please. Don't get your hopes up so soon, because I think this is a big thing that happens with Cleveland fans. There's no doubt in my mind I want to see the Browns and the Tribe and the Cavs have a great season. But right at the beginning of the season or right at the beginning of preseason, as soon as we win one game, I always think Browns fans, Tribe fans, we get our hopes way too high, and then we have the Browns and the Tribe. They just crush us, and they lose six or seven straight. But I am glad that they won, but don't get your hopes up so high so fast.
Well, here's my thing. I haven't had my hopes up for the past 5 years. You haven't heard me talk like this. I always say, I'm hoping, you know.
I beg to differ.
You have to beg to differ because
every year you've come in here and said, this is going to be our year.
Oh,
this
no,
is going
I
to be
don't.
Our year.
No, sir.
We can go to tape on that one.
No, man, you can go to tape. I don't do that because I'm not a liar. And and one thing that I'll say is I haven't been excited. I always say I really hope we have a good year this year.
Do you still think you have a quarterback? Do you think Brandon Wheaton's a real deal, though?
Yes. I think Wheaton's a good quarterback, and I saw the backup quarterback that came in and did some good things as well. And what I was seeing was I saw ends getting loose. What I fear is that the
That's not what I fear.
You have a running back this year.
We have a running back this year. Yeah, we don't need a. We need two running backs.
We got three or four. We got plenty running backs.
No, I don't know about that.
It all happens. It's all going to happen with Wheaton. Wheaton's now is in a comfortable offense, guys. I don't know how much you all know about offense. I mean, I coached over 30 years just about.
Man, go ahead and say what you're going to say because we've got a minute left.
But Wheaton in general is in an offense now that he's comfortable with. If you know offenses and stuff in football, last year's offense did not suit the type of player that he is now. Now he's very comfortable. You can just see that he flows right with how they want to do it. Man, we got one of the best offensive coordinators in NFL football today in Norm Turner, man. This guy is the top.
Hey, well, check it out.
Check it out.
Hey, whoa. Look, Reg, hold on, bro. We got to go to break.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just picked up a local call. You're going to be next as soon as we get back from this break. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends right now, because we got all the testosterone in the room. We're talking about sports. And we saw the Cleveland Browns be victorious and the Pittsburgh Squealers. They were squealing all weekend. I saw them wearing their gear, but they were squealing. It don't mean nothing. It's just the beginning of the season. We'll see about that. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Be right
back. That is right.
Howdy, howdy. I'm Floyd Sykes, Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. But Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling. Because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
I want to be a rock star. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a baseball player. I'll be a chef. Cars, it's like the coolest job ever. You get to ride around in a giant Bosch. The chefs get to cook yummy cheeseburgers, pizza, get right on those trucks and never have to stop for red lights or nothing.
And you get to play really loud.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection can give children a chance to dream. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
My plan is to be the youngest pitcher to ever throw a no-hitter.
All right, a cookbook got just for kids.
I know I'm going to be famous because my mom and dad call me the little star.
And that pool you slide down? Cool.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation. 25 years of helping children reach for their dreams.
4 hours of the best music in the world. Tune in Sundays from 1 till 4 p.m. for the Happy Polka Land Show. Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff, Sticks, and Ben in the air chair. And we are talking to you about whatever's on your mind. Hey, I see I got a call from 614. If you want to talk, go ahead and hit the 1, and I'll know you're in the want to talk pit there, so we'll get you on. Okay, and we were last talking about the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and excuse me, Ben. With all due respect, you know.
No. Listen, you Cleveland Clowns fans have been around for. Browns fans have been around for a while, so I'm not going to say anything. But you know, I do want to make up one point. Brandon Whedon is only half the problem. The amount of drops that your receivers had last year.
I agree.
Historic levels.
I agree.
And if your receivers do not improve, you're not going to win a game.
Well, I saw improved receivers. I saw them doing goal line.
Do they still have Massaquoi? Is he still there?
I don't know.
Or did they get rid of him?
They might have got rid of Massaquoi.
He was their best receiver last year, and he had more drops than anybody in the league.
Well, I mean, you might be correct. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But I got a local caller on. Local caller, you are on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Hey, man. You didn't come down to Jazz in the Park.
No, nah, I didn't come down because I was doing something. But listen, as far as the Cleveland Browns go, they Hillis is supposed to come back.
What?
If Hillis come back, if Hillis come back, they're gonna have a full package in the backfield, man. They're gonna have a full back, and you know they're gonna have a halfback.
Now let me say this: that would be dangerous, and you know why? Because Hillis, they put Hillis through that hole first. He gonna knock some cats over.
Most definitely.
Now, he's not going to be able to do that for a couple years, but, hey, we'll take the 2 or 3. He'll get out of beating his body up like that, you know?
He said he would not come back to Cleveland because of the way they left.
It's a whole different front office, so he shouldn't have any issue coming back, and he should want to make some money. So, I understand. But if he comes back, That would be the thing.
Yeah.
Because he'll open that hole.
Oh yeah. But just because he said he wouldn't come back, I kind of believe he's not going to come back though.
Well, we'll see.
Money talks.
I think what he meant was he didn't want to come back to that particular management, and like Jeff just said, it's a whole different organization now. So he may come back. I heard he's going to come back. Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Didn't the fans get on him too a little bit there because he wouldn't negotiate?
But the thing is we don't know the inside. It's just like the whole LeBron debacle when it comes to basketball.
Well, he's part of that Madden curse.
People hate it. They hated LeBron.
Yeah.
And I think LeBron made a wise move.
I do, too. Championship rings. LeBron
precisely.
Did it. LeBron won 2 championship rings. But LeBron has, 2 now also?
Yeah.
Didn't they fire Bill Belichick?
Hey,
yeah, look how many Belichick rings Belichick has.
Belichick is doing his thing.
You find success.
Yeah.
If it was up to anybody who's smart in Cleveland would realize that, it'd be a ghost town up there.
Go ahead, Doc.
And in my opinion, as far as LeBron goes, LeBron James told them to give him some help, man. You know, he was telling them he couldn't do it all by himself. If they would have gave him just, maybe 2 more players, they'd have had back-to-back championships. That's all I got to say.
All right, my brother. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, man.
I was just going to say, when you said about LeBron, hey, you know, LeBron, he was so good in Cleveland. I think that the thing about LeBron is he was so good in Cleveland that he made other players look good. Like, I remember back in 2006, 2007, like, me and my dad, we thought every single player that played for the Cavs were awesome. And in all reality, now that I look back at it, there weren't really good players that were playing for the Cavs. LeBron was just so good, he made other guys look good.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
I would disagree in that when it comes to Carlos Boozer, though. Because when Boozer was with Cleveland, I mean, and he actually, I think, came out from underneath LeBron's shadow when he moved on. But that's
yeah.
Yeah.
Boozer was a liar.
Yeah. Well, he was. But, you know, when Cleveland did not retain Boozer, I knew they were going to lose LeBron.
I heard that because Boozer was the best player other than LeBron on that team.
Yeah, and if they could not keep them, who you know.
What they going to do, right?
Yeah, you're not going to get any help.
No.
I mean,
also, I got
to
sleep good
dynasty.
For the first time last night, knowing that the Tribe fixed their losing streak, thank God.
Well, I tried to tell you guys, Detroit was going to beat the living daylights out of Cleveland. Because
we talked
Cleveland
about that on
does
Friday,
not.
Jeff. I didn't think that they were, but they definitely did.
Well, I told you. You better listen to me. Because I'm not a big follower of baseball, but when I watch that pitching record, it's just like you can go to a park, even if you don't bet on the animals. You look at how many times they've placed this and how many times they've done this. You look at that pitching record of Detroit, and you will see ain't nothing happening. There was no way they could win that.
No.
South Carolina. Go ahead. Now, South Carolina, you come on in.
Oh, what's up, fellas? What's up?
Hey.
I hear y'all talking about those northern teams, man. You better start talking about the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Hey, man. I can't argue with you. You know, you guys got a team. It ain't got nothing to do with up here.
Well, you know, we can put them in the same group as the Cleveland Browns and Buffalo Bills.
Oh.
Their records are all about the same.
That ain't so. Don't listen to that, yo.
Well, no, they were. Last year, their records were all about the same.
Yeah, but different league, different teams, you know.
Yeah.
So you can't put it there.
Carolina's had a pretty bad spell.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, I was just going to say right quick, I just want to say that say to Ben right there, you know, I'm not a betting person or anything, but I would like to bet him a cup of coffee and maybe a McDonald's sandwich. I'm going to tell you right now, my personal belief, the Browns will win the AFC North, and they will get in the playoffs this year. Now,
I'll bet you a cup of coffee
and a sandwich on that. Like I said, I'm not going to bet you money on that because I don't do that. But a couple of coffees and a sandwich, I'll bet you that they be in the playoffs this year.
Since this is Po-Folk Radio, I'm looking for a way to get a new jersey. I might have to bet a jersey on it.
I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a coffee and a sandwich if we can watch the game together because I just love to see disappointment on other people's faces.
No, and you know what? I think that we could definitely do that. I have no problem with that. But that ain't going to happen. I'm not worried about that.
We got to go to a morning coffee sports bar on Sunday. We got to find out where we can have a morning coffee meeting.
We can find that. We can do that.
Good.
Yeah.
If I don't be up at the game, but, I mean, either way it goes, then, you know, because, like I said, with my buddy's son playing, and stuff, you know, I'm going, you know, to all the games I can go to. So this year
I definitely
got the Steelers game. Got the Steelers game in mind, you know, in general and stuff. But that sound like a pretty reasonable
I'm
bet
there.
For
I'm there
you?
For it. Yeah, you know,
good.
even if we have to all go up to the game up in Cleveland.
Oh,
that would
be nice.
Because, you know, there's no way that they're going to be sold out this year, so. I mean, we can go up to Cleveland and catch a game. You can't go to Pittsburgh and catch a game. They're sold out for years.
I think
either one of those games is going to be
Cleveland's
a night game.
Playing in Pittsburgh. I think Cleveland's playing.
There's
in Pittsburgh,
one game in Pittsburgh
game
and
year.
One in Cleveland.
Yeah.
The first
I think,
one may be
I
in Pittsburgh.
Got,
well, forget it. That
I think
game
it's
sold
in
out.
Pittsburgh is first.
That game sold
year.
Out.
Hey Jeff.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Hey Jeff, you reckon they'll have any Obama clowns there?
Oh my God! You know that this year is going to be the Obama clown year because. With this approval rating not being so great, you know.
But did you hear about the rodeo clown?
All right, fellas,
that wore the Obama mask.
Yes.
He wore the Obama mask, and they are just saying that that was so disrespectful, and this was, you know, it was racist and all the rest of it.
Now,
I mean,
it was racist. Why? Because he had a black mask on? What color is he going to wear?
Because he had an Obama mask on.
Yeah, I know.
I got to tell you guys something.
Go ahead, man.
This is a good one. You know, this is a little bit of an analogy here, but, you know, Superman and Pinocchio were walking down the street one day, and there was a contest coming up. It said Strongest Man in the World competition, and Superman entered it, came back, and, you know, he says, hey, first place. And, you know, Pinocchio says, how'd you know, first place? Well, they came up to another competition, Biggest Liar in the World. So Pinocchio says, I'm going in there. And he goes, I'm going to win that competition. So Pinocchio goes in, comes back. Superman says, what happened? He goes, you know anybody by the name of Obama? He beat me.
Oh, you're going to get killed, man. You're going to get killed. I can't even clap on that, man. 614, you're in the air. 614.
That was a corny joke, Ben. I
yes,
love
it was.
You.
That's all I'm known for, honey. I can only do those corny jokes.
Oh, my God. But I'm just fine. Y'all know I had to press the one.
You smiled on that.
Because the mask, I'm like, I'm sorry. Whether it's President Obama, whether it was George Bush, whether it was his father, whether it was Reagan, respect the office of the presidency of the United States. If we can't take that office seriously and respect it, how do we expect others to do the same?
No, actually, in a democracy, you're not supposed to respect it.
Actually, Dio, I disagree with you on this one. If we can't make fun of our leaders, then, you know, because that's what makes America special.
Right.
Especially when you're making fun as if you're just being a comedian and not trying to be hurtful, that's one thing. You can't sit there and tell me that that person was not trying to be hurtful and demeaning in that context, in that way, when he did such
a
thing.
That
was just like President Bush getting laughed at because he choked on a peanut. And he walked into the door when he was in China.
You remember when he passed out in China? Or no, in Japan?
Yeah.
He passed out. That was hysterical.
Gerald Ford falling down the steps of the airplane?
Oh, that was good, too.
Yeah, but here's the
thing.
That's
different. When they do something and you're poking fun at something that they've done that it's hilarious, that's totally different.
Do you remember Celebrity Fight Club with Ronald Reagan? You remember that?
That
was hilarious.
That was funny.
Wait a minute. Say it again.
Celebrity Fight Club with Ronald Reagan.
What year was that?
It was a claymation series back in the 80s when Reagan was
in
office. It was hilarious.
Diva, if you cannot make fun of your leaders, they become elitist.
But Diva, here.
You know what other elitists have done in the world? Like Hitler? You know, you couldn't make fun of Hitler. What happened to him?
I'm not saying you can't make fun. It's one thing to poke fun at something that they've done.
If you poke fun at Hitler, you are assassinated.
Let me say this one real quick. So all the people that hung Bush in effigy or wore the T-shirts with George Bush with a target on him and says, where's Lee Harvey Oswald when you need him? And then, you know, they had on their license plates, instead of bull, you know, expletive, they had Bush expletive. So you think that was respectful to the office of the President of the United States? Let her answer, please.
Hold on, let me answer. And if I was talking on this radio show when that was happening, I would have went off on those people, too.
Well, then you have nothing to say now because
they were making fun of Bush when the guy threw the shoe at him. I was very, very upset, and I thought that guy got off and he should have got longer time because that was completely disrespectful to the office of the president.
That was funny.
Well, that didn't happen in America.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that
happened
a whole different connotation. Yes,
I know that happened in another country, but I'm saying they still punished him, but I don't think he got punished harshly. And those on the left, that was hilarious.
He was in Iraq.
Yes, he was in Iraq. And you don't. What you have to understand is in that culture, it's a whole different connotation. Okay, that's just like somebody shooting the finger at Bush here.
Right.
When you put the sole of the foot to somebody's head, or show the bottom of your feet to somebody.
Right.
That is the biggest insult.
Greatest insult, right.
That Islamic culture there.
Wasn't it President Obama?
My point was
feet up on the desk in the Arab country?
Yes, he did. He put his foot up on the desk in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And
in an Arab country.
In an Arab country. And they had a fit,
you know,
even though.
That's what changed my mind that he was a Muslim, because if he was a Muslim, he would have known that.
Well, here's the thing. Because he was a Muslim, it means another thing altogether, and that is that we've defeated you. Okay, so, you know, that's another.
Well, yes, that is. That means
you got 30 seconds, but go ahead.
Yeah, that means you have beat your enemy. That's why they hit the statue of Saddam Hussein with shoes.
They beat it with shoes.
Because that, yeah. But
you're under our feet.
Do you think that's what Obama was saying? We've defeated you?
I think he was sending a message.
I don't think he was that.
I do. He's not dumb.
Our State Department, under President Obama, has done so many faux pas, but from the reset button with Hillary Clinton through. I mean, they've just made so many etiquette faux pas that it's been crazy.
Well, we're going to go to break right now. We'll be right back. Stay online, everybody. We'll talk to you on the other side.
I'm Harper Keegan.
Hey, Matt.
What's going on, Sal? Diva still with us, too?
I think she is. Diva, you in the hospital this time? We don't want you to be telling us no secrets now.
No, I'm out. I'm out of the hospital now.
Okay. Did you ever get the test done?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
Because you were threatening to walk out of the hospital there for a second.
I know, and I really was. They were trying to starve me. And they were like, well, you're okay. You gained a pound since you've been in here. I'm like, I don't care.
What were you in the hospital for?
I passed out. I have a heart arrhythmia. Basically, that's what they came to the conclusion.
Oh, wonderful. Not good.
Did they put you on digoxin?
No, they got me on metoprolol, or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. But yeah, you seem a little bit upset there.
I was not cussing. I could have gotten that point, but you don't play with my food, my money. Those are through. And my family. Those are four things you don't mess with. Mostly my child and my food. I those two I really will get. I will go to another place on.
Well, it's all over with now. They figured out what's going on, so you're all good.
I have a friend who has an arrhythmia problem, too, and I don't know if they gave you any medications or what they did, but I know it's a very treatable thing, so they tend to be able to keep it under control.
Yeah. I'm on medication right now. It seems to be helping. I feel a lot better than I did that week I was in the hospital, so.
Well, glad to hear you're feeling better, David.
Except as Friday, oh my gosh, I was listening to the show, trying to have a discussion. I got off the show, my heart rate was 110.
So it's all Jeff's fault? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. I think so. Ever since I've been listening to this show.
It'll do it.
I used to have perfect blood pressure.
See, that's why I'm worried about Stan. I'm wondering if something happened to Stan, you know. Somebody's got to hunt him down and figure out what happened to him.
He called in last week, Friday. No, he didn't. I was thinking of someone else. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I miss him.
How conservative. Kill Stan.
Yeah, I'll tell you, as much of a blood pressure problem that he gave me, which you know very well, Diva, the feeling apparently, I miss that guy. He was a good guy. He was fun to talk to.
It's crazy.
He has some definite opinions about women, that's for sure.
Oh, my God.
And overweight people.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he was. You never heard him talk about people who were overweight?
No.
He wasn't cruel about it, but he was there is absolutely no excuse. He would go on and on about, because he was a fitness guy. I that's what he said. He believed in physical fitness and, you know, I guess got into some training and such. But, yeah, when it came to people overweight, and he would let them have it.
Well, me, I spent 6 years in the United States Marine Corps, and that was enough fitness for me.
Oh my gosh, you'd be mad at me about right now. I've gained 12 pounds since my surgery.
Well, yeah. How much do you weigh?
145.
You don't ask a woman that. What the heck?
Hey, man, I'm fine. I got four older sisters. And I know as long as there's enough distance between, you can ask anything you want.
I don't mind. I weigh 145.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I've been looking at the BMI charts. My daughter goes to a place called Fitness World here.
Once again, we're back after New Tracy and Friends here on WSLM 600 AM on your radio dial, on WSLM 600 AM on iHeartRadio, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends, and we'd invite you to come on and give us a call. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can talk about the man in the moon. You don't have to know him personally. Just give us a call, and then, you know, I don't know why anybody would want green cheese, but that's what they think is the moon is made of. But anyway,
what about that? They're taking volunteers to take a one-way trip to Mars. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, they're lining up. They're supposed to go in 3 or 4 years. They're looking for two couples.
Oh, to like start a colony?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's a one-way trip. You ain't coming back, and they're telling you up front you ain't coming back.
Well, they can't possibly get you back.
Yeah, they could.
Wow.
Well, they'd have to send enough people there that they can build rockets and send them back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They'd have to send a lot of folk to land, and they don't have that landing thing together the way they put that rover down.
Yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
They need to send
first they need to get a new president so they can get NASA back. Okay, right. No, you, yeah. No, you go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, NASA.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
man.
Yeah.
Didn't you any corny jokes. You're killing me.
That was a good one. I'm sorry.
No, that was so corny. Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's why you got rid of it.
But it was funny, though. It was funny, though.
That's why he got rid of it, to identify with his brethren in the United States. He don't know nothing about slavery.
No, all they need to do is find a probe that searches for gold. As soon as they find gold on Mars, all problems will be solved. We'll be there tomorrow night with luxury hotels.
Guarantee you that there's gold on Mars. Guarantee you.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah?
You know Diva's been sick, right?
Uh-huh.
And, we were talking about it in the room here that we found out that you were the cause of her sickness.
Oh, what did I do?
Tell
you
me.
When I blocked you.
You have my, they found that I have a heart arrhythmia. And
really?
Ever since I've been listening to this show.
And you're the cause of it.
It's your fault,
Jeff. The show last Friday, my heart rate was 110.
Woo.
And that's just from me sitting in bed.
Yeah, I've been through that before, but it was because of stress. And
stressed me out.
Oh, you know what? Did you friend me again?
I can't. I don't know what happened to you. I can't even see you.
I got to unblock you, so I don't know if I did it right. So I don't even know how to get to your site anymore.
To my block list, and you're not there, so I don't know what happened.
How do you go to your block list?
You go to that little thing up top, look like a little wheel or whatever, in that blue bar at top where it says home, your name, there's a little wheel that looks like a little mechanical. I don't know what to call that thing. It's to the far right. You click on that.
And you can block anybody you want?
Yeah, you can block people.
Yeah.
They got one for Obama's health care plan? People trying to block that.
Do end these corny jokes, Ben, please.
Well, anyway, somebody asked a question about why the gas prices were now going down. Well, first of all, you got to keep moving, and I guess the least the president could do is put some pressure on the people as he's going on his fifth vacation of the year. Anybody that got on Bush for going on vacation needs to be beat within an inch of my life, okay? Because guess what? This cat been on vacation more than they all.
Well, he's doing it because he wants to help the economy.
Yeah, he's been.
Yeah.
He Martha's Vineyard economy
the economy is
just fine.
Booming there.
Yeah,
right.
They don't need anything up in
Martha's. The economy in Africa is doing well too. Well, but that's because he went there so many times. Or
yeah,
something, right.
Yeah.
Well, the difference between President Obama and President Bush was President Bush went back to his own ranch every time he went on vacation.
Right.
So did Ronald Reagan.
Where he
his ranch was.
I don't think
it was more subsidy. I don't think it'll be feasible for President Obama to go back to Chicago on vacation.
What?
I agree. I wouldn't want to go back to Chicago either.
Yeah, that's his house. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't want to go back there.
Check it out. I think he needs to go back to Chicago.
That would be horrible. The logistics of that for the people who live in that neighborhood would be horrible.
What's going to happen after he's not president anymore?
That's,
he's going to go to Harlem?
Well, he's
like,
going to have security, but it's not going to be as it is while he's currently president. You know, you don't really have to protect him while he's not president. You have to protect him while he's president. It's a national security issue while he's president.
Better.
Then why are we spending like $30,000 a month to rent Bill Clinton's guest house to the Secret Service to keep an eye on him and Hillary in New York?
Yeah,
well,
check that out.
He's about to run for president.
No,
but
that is not.
Wait a minute. Wasn't there a bill that was passed that now past presidents who are living now have security details still now? Because before they didn't, but I believe they signed a bill into law that gives them Secret Service detail even after they leave the White
House. They've had Secret Service details since Eisenhower, I believe.
No, since Lincoln.
No. No, not after.
No, that's
not true. Harry Truman put his own bags personally in his car and drove back to Missouri. Yeah.
So,
I think Eisenhower was the first one. It may have been after Kennedy that they started.
Well, I know Lincoln did have a guard that was they hired the
Lincoln
Pinkerton people.
The Pinkerton crew.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be the start of the
Secret Service
there.
But Lincoln was still president when he was assassinated.
Yeah.
Right.
We're talking about after they leave office.
Oh, after?
After they leave office.
Well,
after they leave office, after a certain period of time, I don't think they still have. I don't think they had Secret Service.
No, it's for life,
detail.
Honey. It's for life.
It's for life.
It's for life.
It's for life.
George Bush Sr. still has his detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Nancy Reagan still has hers.
Probably not.
You don't think so?
I don't think she needs to.
She probably has one, maybe one or two, but not the full entourage.
Yeah.
One thing I don't think she leaves. I don't think she leaves the ranch a whole lot anymore.
I actually got to meet her. She was shopping early morning in L.A. back in the early '90s, and she did have detail with her, but she still approached me. And I mean, yeah. So, and Ronald was still alive at that time. Now. So I don't know if she has it now, but she did back then. Very nice person, by the way. She was, I mean, I looked like a total rock and roller from hell, and she had no problem coming over and shaking my hand.
Well.
Okay, here's the thing. This is what I'm talking about. In 1994, a cost-saving measure, Congress acted to limit protection for future former presidents and spouses to just 10 years after they left office. President Obama restored that to basically signing a law to make it lifetime. And now it covers their spouses and their children up until they're 16.
Well, here's the thing. There's no doubt about it. He's definitely going to need it because the things that he's torn up in this country, you just don't know.
Well, the only one that doesn't need it is Chelsea Clinton because, you know, if her mother is brave enough to take her to a war zone, she must be able to take care of herself while under fire.
Yeah,
so Chelsea doesn't need it.
Yeah,
now, this is the thing. How can a liar woman like that be anywhere close to getting the nomination to be the president of the United States?
Well,
that's beyond me.
It's a prerequisite for the Democratic Party.
Yes, I understand. Because
you know,
if you can't
tell the truth.
I guess that would be reminiscent of her husband's presidency.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why.
Yeah.
He's a better president than Jimmy Carter was.
Well, yeah, because he was using Ronald Reagan's economics.
That's what I'm talking about.
He lived off of it.
Ronald Reagan and Bush, because Bush continued Ronald Reagan's economics.
Well,
nobody wants to admit that.
He did do some tax raising, which I thought wasn't necessary.
But he raised taxes on individuals. He did not raise business taxes.
Well,
that's what people forget.
Yeah, I understand that, but you know, it's still... I don't know. I mean, the less money you have out in the economy, the more the economy slows. The more money in the economy, the more the economy speeds up. So I don't, you know, he reversed Reaganomics right there.
Well, I agree with you there, but the misnomer is they keep saying that Clinton raised taxes on business, and he did not raise taxes on business.
No, he didn't.
He raised taxes on individuals.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I don't know.
So
guess we'd have to ask Monica to clarify that.
Well, we'll see. Oh, God. Here we go. Anyway, now, Diva, you know, this guy is not really getting what the last president got as far as criticism goes. And as far as negative criticism is what I'm saying.
Except here on Afternoons with Tracy and Frank.
Well, you know, he gets
his fair share here.
Well, but even here, we're not as hard on it as possible, because I'm not with this, you know, I see plenty of people on Facebook call him a POS, and they call him, you know, they make racial slurs.
What, POS? Yeah, politically out of sync. What?
Yeah, well, that's what it should stand for, because he's very much that. But in all of this reorganization, I want to tell the people in the middle class, you got all of these people up there hollering they want to help the middle class. That's because there's all of you people in the middle class that vote, and they have to fool you again to vote for National Democrats. That's why Anthony Weiner was out there talking about, I'm going with that, I want to help the middle class. You got poor people all over the country. Do the poor people not matter anymore?
Listen.
Or do you know you have them so much by giving them little things that they're going to come vote for you anyway?
Well, you know, the problem with that is that most of the middle class, have become poor people.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Under this pink slip president.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
So
that's why his rating is at 42% this week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
the 42% are probably the wealthy bank owners that he bailed out.
Well, that's the 12% of that is them.
That's the thing. They keep saying they want to help the middle class, but nothing this president has done anything for the middle class.
Not a dog.
It would have cost less money to let the banks fail and pay off every residential mortgage in this country, which would have helped the middle class immensely.
Oh, given so much disposable income, the economy would have went
to bring it back up, and banks would have been okay again.
The simple plan would have been, for every $10,000 you accepted, you had to hang on to your house for a year.
No problem.
You know, so if you got a $100,000 note, you got to hang on to house for 10 years, or you got to give the money back.
You see, but that makes
sense. That would have taken all those houses off the market. It would have given the average person, what's the average house payment in this country, something like $1,000 a month?
700 and some, I think it was.
Yeah, so you're talking...
Not including taxes and...
Right,
yeah.
I mean just principal and interest payments.
Yeah.
So it would have given the average family another $800 a month disposable income.
I mean, think about it. The economy, but that makes too much sense, Dix. It really does.
They keep hollering infrastructure. What is... The Keystone XL pipeline is a huge infrastructure project. It's everything that the president claims he wants to do with roads and bridges without a dime of government money.
But he won't approve it.
We got to go.
I believe in the good of all mankind.
Oh, they back on break?
Yeah, where'd you disappear to?
Oh, I got a call.
You got a call.
Yeah, I'm giving away sister and somebody, and I'm trying to link up with someone so that they can come and get it.
So tell me now, you still seeing the same guy?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No.
You kicked him to the curb?
Yes.
Oh, well. That's the luck. That's a day in the life of a diva.
I have no tolerance for BS.
Well,
says the Democrat. I'm sorry, diva. I had to take a stab there.
I mean, I would too, because people on the right annoy me just as much as what you.
Oh, man, I've got to finish up an 8-page paper.
I got
anybody want to do it for me?
What is your paper on?
It is, okay, scenario is, I have just been promoted, and so now it is my job to hire my replacement.
Oh.
So I've got to go through and give a job description and all that good stuff. It's really simple stuff because, I mean, it's going to be easy. It's just a matter of sitting down and doing it. You
so
just have to fluff, put so much fluff in it.
Your new replacement is the guy who has to deal with the little man in the air conditioner in the old lady's apartment?
Yep.
That was one of the funniest stories, man.
Man, it is. And the craziest thing about it is, the scary thing for me is the fact that she's got a gun.
Yeah. It's probably one of the only times that you've been anti-gun in somebody's house, huh?
Oh, man, what are you talking about, bro? I mean, it's like I have to make sure I call her before I go over to her house. Then when I knock on the door, I let her know who it is knocking. Then when I go in, I say, "Hey, how you doing? This is Richard." And she's like, "Okay, I know who you are."
I might shoot you anyway, but I know who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
And her, you know, her, I think it's her son-in-law did come over though. But I think that. That relationship is a bit strained, so
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Diva.
It's a little off topic, but I got into this debate on Facebook. What do you guys feel about women breastfeeding in public uncovered?
Well, I think it's a bit distractive, but, you know, hey, I mean, go ahead and put your cover over. You know, I've seen the little towels or smocks or cloths or whatever. Do that. But I don't know. It would be more disruptive than anything else for me.
Hi, Mike. Can I call you back in a few minutes? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's
so all right. I guess I'm a bit of a prude because. I don't want to see it. Put your cover on.
Well, you know, listen, if the baby's hungry, the baby's hungry. I say if you got a cover yourself up. If something happens where you just don't have a cover, again, that baby is hungry. You got to feed the kid. But, no, I think people should make an effort to you know, be respectful for everybody around them. On the same token, I don't want to see anybody complaining, even when you do have somebody who's covered, you know, breastfeeding in a restaurant somewhere. That's natural. The kid's got to eat. You know, if it's covered, it's covered. So
right.
I don't know what
to do. Well, my thing was there was a YouTube video where a lady was at a recreational center, and there was kids around the ages of 8 to 12. They had a special program. And she was standing there at the counter wearing a tank top with the left side down and her 6-week-old infant attached to her boob just standing there feeding the baby while signing her kid in. They offered her a private place so that she could breastfeed, and she just refused to. And asked her, well, can you at least cover up? We have young kids around. She refused to. My thing is, be respectful of other people. It's a natural thing. I breastfed my daughter. I would never breastfeed in public uncovered. I don't care if she's hungry or whatever. I'm going to find somewhere.
Right.
So that I don't have to be. Me personally, I'm just private when it comes to my body. I'm not going to be having a private moment between me and my child be shared with everyone else. And
I totally agree with that.
Big thing where, you know, we have this new this freer revolution. I heard people saying we should be able to just walk around naked. And I'm like, we have this thing in Columbus called ComFest, and it's very, very liberating. I don't go to it because I don't care to see naked people walking around. I don't care to see people dry humping each other in public. I don't care to see people tonguing each other in public. I'm not a PDA type of person. You know, I'll hold hands. Let me give a pecking and you know, may give a peck on the cheek or on the lips every now and again in public, but that's as far as it's going to go. I guess me being 33, I'm considered a prude. I don't know. I've always been that way.
Well, no, it's number one, it's a matter of respect. Number two, I'll tell you this. There's some people that really shouldn't agree with the nude in public thing, because these are the people that you see that stuff themselves into, like, Barbie doll clothes when they really should be in, like, you know, plus type things. Those I would really have a problem with. And, you know, if you have these, like what you're talking about, if you have these areas set up where
you get a call and talk about what's on your mind, et cetera, and listen to what we have to say as well. And we're talking about a number of different things that have been happening here in this United States. I have a nephew that is scheduled to land back in in fact, he ought to be back in the United States now. He was stuck over in Africa during the time of the, the upheaval over there, where they shut down all the government offices. Okay, and during that time, 10 years to the date that it burnt down before, the Nairobi airport burnt down again, terminal did anyway. And so my point is this. What aren't we seeing how we're being looked at in the world? Why aren't people seeing that we are now a laughingstock when, at least under the last president, they feared what you might do, might not do? They didn't know what you might do. Okay. I am so happy, like I said, that he should be touching down in the United States shortly, if not already. And you know, he's been over there a few days, and about a week and about 2 weeks, couldn't get out. But here it goes. We didn't have any situation like that except 9/11 that caught us totally by surprise, right at the beginning of the Bush presidency. And you guys in the chat room, not in the chat room, but in the queue there, you are definitely on. Do you think that world relations are better post the Arab Spring or now, pre-Arab Spring or post-Arab Spring?
Can I answer this?
Yes.
Just from Putin's standpoint? America, your president is an idiot.
That's what he said.
And basically said he does not understand how people in America elected such a stupid person. He said people in America are dumb for electing him. That's what a very, very prominent first world power leader thinks of our president.
Well, not only him. I've heard Sarkozy.
He was making fun of him, too. Yeah.
And Merkel.
And the British Merkel. The British Prime Minister, what was his name?
Brown?
Yeah, when he first got his first term.
Gordon Brown.
He could not believe the arrogance of our president. You know, it wasn't humble or you know, respectful. He just thought he was God's gift to world dominance power. He said he acted like Adolf Hitler. He compared him directly to Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, he did.
I see it. I see it, too.
Diva?
Yes?
Are you going to defend any of this?
I'm just telling you what they said.
I can defend until I'm blue in the face and I'm running out of breath, but you guys are going to always counter
no.
back with something.
No!
Diva, give us
something we can feel, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us
what other world leaders have said. Give us something positive they said about Obama. I haven't heard anything.
They said the same stuff about George Bush. I heard the same stuff about
No, they most certainly did not.
Putin respected, he didn't agree with him, but he respected George Bush. Also, Gordon Brown was arm in arm with George Bush.
Yes, he was.
Because the UK-US friendship was extremely tight.
Right, you remember,
under Brown and Bush.
Yeah, they don't use the euros in. Well, they do accept them, but they still have the pound.
Here's my thing. We all know that Obama is hands off is way more intelligent than George W. Bush.
He hasn't proven it, but
he's
go ahead.
Why hasn't he released his school records then? If he's so much more intelligent.
I mean, can he fly a jet engine?
I mean, President Obama was president of the Harvard Larview.
He graduated
magnum cum laude.
We don't know that he graduated because he hasn't released those records. So you tell me how you know that. I mean, were you there? Did you graduate with him?
That's the key, Diva.
He has not released his records, Diva, so we do not know what he graduated.
I don't like getting into these discussions anymore. I'm trying to give my point of view, and I'm cut off. I don't have the physical stamina to go tit for tat with you guys because it causing me to be breathless.
You're more than welcome to prove your point, but prove it with facts.
See, because you made statements that aren't true. First of all,
you guys didn't ask me that. You guys asked me if I was going to defend it, and I said, I really don't care to. And you said, well, you're free to. So I was giving my opinion, and then you guys cut me off at the knees.
Okay, Diva, we are sorry for interrupting you, but you made the statement that the president graduated magna cum laude. Where did you get your information? Because he has not released any of his school records.
Okay.
Answer, please.
I'm just going to listen.
You go ahead and listen then.
But that's the problem with most liberals.
They'll say something
that's not true, and then they.
I don't have the physical energy to go tit for tat with you guys like I used to. I just don't have it.
Okay, you can use that as a legitimate excuse, but all we're asking
is that fact. No, that's fact.
No.
I don't have physical energy to go tit for tat.
Okay,
anytime I do now.
Okay,
you don't have to go tit for tat. Don't sit here and say that's typical liberal because you guys know I will go tit for tat with no problem.
Right now, we're not even discussing the subject. We're discussing why we can't have the conversation about the subject, which doesn't make any sense. It's not tit for tat that when you say something that is false. I'm saying it hasn't been proven. Nobody's proven it, and that's just a conversation. It's not tit for tat. There is no evidence to show that he graduated magna cum laude. That's the
only thing I'm saying.
And not only that,
he was the gentleman from the law school that was there while he was there. One of the professors said that when he came there, they forced them to make him the president of that law paper.
Review.
Okay, the law review. He is the first law review president in history to have never written an article in the doggone paper. So how the hell, do you get these things and not understand that the highbrow educational people made this person. They created him. He's not real. He's an enigma.
Even Bill Clinton said
I'm going to just give you my opinion as to why I think this stuff, as far as the world leaders are acting, acting the way they're acting. And this is just my opinion. And after I give you my opinion, then please, you can beat me up, okay?
Go ahead.
Frankly, I don't know how anyone can get accepted, especially during that time, can just get accepted into Harvard, okay, of all places, Harvard. Could it be because he's black or, you know, he put down that he was a foreign national, whatever? Could be. They were looking to diversify maybe at that time. I don't know. I wasn't born nor was I thought of. My mom was only old enough to be at that time. However, you can't deny that this is a highly intelligent man. I don't know how anyone can graduate from Harvard and not have a family name behind them, not have the money behind them that Bush had, and get as far as he has. You can't deny that he's an intelligent man. However, for these world leaders to sit here and say that he is a dumb man, I don't know anybody who could sit and look at old President Obama and say he's not intellectually smart, because he ran the best political campaign that we have seen in a long time. Whether you like how it ran or not,
you think he did it? You think he did that?
Can I finish, please?
The people that George Soros put there to help him did it.
See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Diva, this was created for him because he believes the far left moniker, the global warming BS, the cap and trade, all the stuff that he could get in there and do damage with. George Soros spent 15 to 20 years destroying the Congress of the United States, putting progressives in on both sides of this key right here. And so, therefore, you're sitting up here with a created position that they needed an actor to fill. Now, you want to say Ronald Reagan was an actor. This is an actor. Because when he talks away from that doggone podium where he can't see that teleprompter, he says stupid behind stuff.
He takes a teleprompter into meetings with as few as five people.
He's being stupid from the teleprompter. He's not as eloquent or articulate. He's not as eloquent in his speech pattern as he is when he's in front of the teleprompter.
Yes, he is. He's very eloquent.
Anyone.
Diva, President Obama, I don't think the powers that be ever thought he would be president. I think they thought senator. But he was selected from birth. And if you look at you look at the relationship between his mother and all of the people all the way through to Chicago.
This is the funny thing. Most young people who come from money, that's their aspirations. Because President Obama didn't come from money like that. Most old family money, old money families, that is their aspirations. U.S. senator, congressman, governor, president, that's their aspirations.
Do you realize that President Obama lived in the wealthiest zip code in Hawaii and attended the most expensive private school in the state of Hawaii?
And
you know that.
What do you mean, Ann?
The point being is
we tried to tell you that he was.
You're claiming he didn't come from money. He didn't come from his own mother's personal money. But he had money behind him from the time he was a very, very young man.
Okay, so say my child, with my leftist views, somebody decided to see something special in my child, and they're going to, you know, they're going to build that up. They're going to do whatever it can to help her and build her up. So you're saying that if she was to one day become president, you guys would be saying the same conspiracy?
It would depend what paper trail she had behind her. If she had gone to Harvard Law School and she had published, if her school records were available, if her high school records were available, if it was an above board where people had just paid for her schooling and everything was out in the open, no, we wouldn't be saying this, but so many things about President Obama are hidden and sealed. That's where the conspiracy theories come from.
Hey, hello?
Yeah, go ahead, 3-4. What's up, Adam?
Hey, how y'all doing?
She made a point a minute ago about it's clear he's intelligent because of how the campaign was ran. Campaigns aren't ran by one individual. They're ran by a group of individuals. And Barack Obama represented everything to five and six different factions of people that disagreed ideologically. But if you put the mic up to each one of those individuals, he's going to give them something that the other group said that they didn't want. So it was as if he was everything to everyone, and that's why he's catching some flack now. So to say he's intelligent because the campaign ran well isn't a good idea, because, I mean, that if people always say George Bush was stupid, but at the end of the day, could he lose to John Kerry? John Kerry really didn't run too bad of a campaign. It was just he wasn't as great of a orator as Barack Obama. Barack Obama was intelligent in the sense that he practiced and he had his speech down. He knew his look. He had his look together. And that's what it takes. But the substance, as far as what's in his head, that's very hard to just prove, just because that's an opinion, actually, to say something intelligent or stupid.
I believe it was Bill Clinton that said during the first campaign that Barack Obama was a blank sheet of paper and every voter could write on him what they wanted to write.
That was strong, too, because that's exactly what he was and what he did. Because, you know, it's bothering me, and we're getting ready to go to here to break in about 15 seconds. It's bothering me that, you know, he's not stupid, but he's not the intellectual that people are making him out to be. He is a far-left-wing radical who was raised by far-left-wing radicals. His mama was a communist. His daddy was a communist. So, therefore, you're showing me what he is, a progressive socialist communist.
Well, you know,
be right back after these messages.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill.
Are we able to talk amongst ourselves?
Yeah.
Hey, is that Alabama and Diva?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you guys doing? This is Blind Mike. Or not so Blind Mike, or whatever they call me. I don't know.
Well, how are you, Blind Mike?
I'm doing fine. I'm having a marvelous Monday, and I'm just buckling down to reality. I only called in just because I was waiting for my lunch to arrive, and I was so darn hungry, I figured I'd better distract my mind. I didn't know I'd be given this to eat. So, Steve, I'm kind of halfway between you and Alabama and Jeff on this whole subject. I think as Americans we ought to be royally upset that any other tin horn leader of other countries even would dare to publicly insult our president. I mean, if you insulted some Muslim president to one of the Eastern countries, you'd be on a death list, you know? So.
I mean, I think part of the reason Putin said that, I mean, yeah. We had, what was it, 5,000 warheads. He's got us down to, like, he's going to get us down. They haven't disarmed one of theirs.
Yeah.
That is, if you're in a war and everybody's got guns aimed at each other and
yeah.
you're taking yours down and they haven't really actually taken theirs down, you can say what you want. That's why I think he's calling him an idiot. I think that's why.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of them anyway. That's just one of the reasons.
You know, we are truly the only last superpower left in the world. There are no other superpowers. Russia can't mount an army. Russia doesn't have the technological advancements we do. We still have the money to do things. Even China can't keep up with us when it comes to that. We are truly the last superpower, but we don't act like it. And from somebody who respects power, you could see why he'd feel what he would feel about President Obama, because he doesn't throw himself around like we have the power, and we negotiate too much stuff away.
Y'all really are giving Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Y'all really having this conversation like Vladimir Putin is some type of authority on someone's intelligence.
Yeah, well.
I didn't say he was an authority on someone's intelligence. I'm just saying that if I'm in negotiations with a person and they do something profoundly stupid or something that – you get what I'm saying? They say when you open your mouth, you remove all doubts. Come on now. This guy is not doing – there are some things – look, you can't just support everything he does. You just can't – Every move
hold
this guy's
you're,
making. Hold on. Let me give you a good example.
You're telling
we'll
me
give you an example,
I can't
people.
Support. You're telling
Steve, hold on,
tell
I'm
going to
give you an example.
I can't support everything that he is doing when, one, I voted for him. I listened to what he was saying, and everything that he said on the campaign trail is everything that I believed and I agreed with. So
okay,
whenever
enough,
he is doing something,
Diva, if
that's
you,
what
you,
I'm agreeing
if,
with. I don't like that he's
okay.
not doing everything that
okay.
should be done.
Okay, Diva. Everything you're saying, okay, I hear you. But let me ask you this. As an African-American, right, we have some of the worst schools in the country. We come from the worst educated
in the country, right? So chances are we're going to be competing with, illegals that come over here. Right now the Democrats are pushing to have them made into citizens. And not only that, if they aren't citizens, there's a part in Obamacare where if you hired an undocumented worker, you don't have to pay into Obamacare. So what's going to happen? Most people that's trying to, you know, worrying about their X's and O's and business in their finances is going to say, you know, we're going to have to let these African Americans go with these low end, you know, blue collar jobs, and we're going to give these to illegals. So on its surface, black people are pushing for a bill, pushing and bragging about he got this free health care. Meanwhile, you're going to lose your jobs and be basically unemployed.
This is where the mindset of the right and so-called libertarians boggles me, because you guys are always going off of the what if this, what if that, what if, but there's
that's
no.
Not, that's in the bill. That's in the bill, but go ahead.
No,
and it's
saying,
passed.
Well, this is the bill, and this is what could happen. That's what I'm talking about. You're talking about
no, that's not what's, that's what's going to happen.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, because if the Republicans don't do what I think I see and believe, I'm not going to stick with that.
No, there's progressives in both parties.
They run Jeb Bush. I'm voting for Gary Johnson.
You're going to call Alex up. He's not on.
it's about time we trim these bushes, I'm telling you.
Stay off the bushes.
Anytime you back, especially as an African-American, you back a candidate.
Even at that, he was still more honorable than what we have here now. And I'm sorry, when you get a chance.
And they didn't like a feral. They just removed all traces of him.
Yeah, they knocked him out. They killed him.
Yeah.
And then they took the hieroglyphics off the wall.
So I can see that happening in our history with we never had Obama.
No, he's...
Please, don't blame us for that.
So let it be written.
So let it be done. You're watching too many TV movies.
Yeah.
Callers, you are in the box. You guys all are hot, so you know, just chime in when you're ready. We're going to
play this, Jeff.
Yeah.
I wanted Diva to finish. Diva was saying something about me being an African-American. What were you saying, Diva?
Well, I wasn't just saying about you. I was saying about anyone, any African-American or anyone who believes in civil liberties and civil rights for the American person to vote for a candidate such as Ron Paul or Rand Paul or Gary Johnson. It's astounding because they, for one, believe in certain state rights where if a state decides that they wanted to have segregation or discrimination, then
hold on, let me finish.
If a business decided on their own that they were going to not allow people of certain ethnicities into their business, that was their right.
No, Diva, it's not.
That is not right because
federal
it's a
law.
Federal law.
Diva, for one thing, as a libertarian,
hold on. For one thing, as a libertarian, Diva, there's a whole difference between government action and private action. Yes, I agree. If a person owns a business and without force of law decides they don't want somebody who smokes or somebody who drinks or somebody of a certain color to enter that business, as long as there's not force of law behind that and it's only that person's decision, they should have that right. Absolutely, I agree with that.
The problem with segregation, Ron Paul feels like there should not have been a Civil Rights Act.
It should have been a Constitutional Rights Act. Because black people were not denied civil rights. Civil rights don't exist. They were denied constitutional rights. And there's a huge difference.
Okay. Well, you're actually trying to spin what the man said.
Well, Diva, go ahead. The man said
that there should not be a law or any laws, federal, that should prohibit from establishing their policies for their business. He said he would have not have voted for the Civil Rights Act, but even though he tried to backtrack and say, yes, the good thing is needed, blah, 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 it's law. But he first stated that there should not have been a law limiting the powers of business owners. He feels it that when it comes to certain things, it should be states' rights. We all know that in the South, that if you get the wrong type of people in power, that they will use that power to bring back certain things such as Jim Crow laws. And even
if Diva,
not
Diva, Diva, can you finish? Go ahead, Diva.
Alabama.
Alabama could prove
it. Yeah, what I was trying to say is this. As an African-American, I really, quite frankly, do not care about that as much because I feel as though we have $1 trillion in spending power within our community. If that were to take place, which I don't think it would take place across the board because dollars count, green is green. If that were to take place, just like if we lost all our jobs as African-American, it would force us as a people. Would it be hard at first? Yes. But it will force us to be more self-sufficient and keep our dollars in our communities, and we'll be better for it. So, I mean, we win either way. See, that's the problem I have is that liberals argue from a place of emotion, and they, oh, that's just not right, and this is justice, and this righteous indignation, but then they're selective in when they want to have it. So
you're okay with segregation, Alabama. I'm not. I'm not okay with segregation. I'm not. I don't feel that.
You're not okay, but Diva, think about it. Our dollars in our community, our businesses flourished when we were. I'm not really too against it, to be quite honest with you. We can be sort of off if
we
don't have it.
Make the case
for education and integration, how we were better educational-wise. Make the case for business when we were better business-wise. Across the board in every subject, we were better when we weren't together. So, I mean, it's we got the pictures, and then all this stuff, it was wrong. You know, but then let's not just act like that was the only way. That's the only thing, the only way it's got to work, because that's not the only way. We were better off, and I think we will be now. And I don't think that across the board, everybody is going to just say, you know what, I'm not going to, you can't go to Walmart, you can't go to Target. Come on. I mean, I just think that's unrealistic.
I said in certain areas, and you know in certain areas that they have a heavy concentration of racism. Do you want your people to go back to the...
Look, I'm from Alabama. I'm from Alabama. Look, those people, there's a lot of people in the South that are like that, but then there are a lot of people that need they want money, they're trying to make money. These people don't care, and I think the South gets more of a bad rap than up North, quite frankly, because it's not just the South.
I got to agree with you 100% on that, Alabama, because, you know, people ask me, how in the world can you live in South Carolina? It's racist down there. And I'm like,
it's racist up here.
Yeah, where?
Yeah.
It's racist everywhere, and that's what people don't understand.
And
go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, Diva, I just want to bring up, make a point here. As a business owner, okay, I can no more say that I want to hire people that only murder people than I can say I only want to hire people of a certain color or exclude people of a certain color. It's against federal law. Okay? Your point is mute. Understand?
No, my point is not mute because I know currently right
mute.
Now it is against federal law. I understand the Disabilities Act. I understand all of that. My point is not mute because my point that I was making was that you have politicians like Rand Paul and Ron Paul who would love to just do away with those certain protections. But only because of those protections that you as
they
a business owner are not allowed to do or allowed to do that.
But Diva, you're convoluting the issue here. And the issue is those federal laws were created to supersede state and local law. Not state and local business practice. No, you're convoluting the issue because there was a law that said the segregation had to exist. It wasn't an individual business owner's choice whether or not to have a segregated lunch counter.
Are you really serious with that?
Yes,
so you're trying
serious.
To say it was state law that made that way, and it wasn't individual people who are putting those practices forward. Wasn't the reason why that state law
Dr. Thomas Sowell did a very good article explaining that those laws were put in place because the segregationists didn't like it that the non-segregationist businesses were putting them out of business because they were doing a better business.
Right. It was a handful of people under the who got the Jim Crow laws. It was a handful of people who had political power that got those laws in, and they put those laws in to stop the natural flow of integration, because most white people and most black people are smart enough to know that all business is good, and there's only one color, and that's green in business. There's no black, there's no white, there's no red or yellow.
But not just that, not just that, though, just to add to what she's just saying, if everything she's saying is true, if every black person loses their job, if every black person can't go to, what is, you mean that's going to create a vacuum and a need that is going to be filled by somebody? Who? Us. That's what's going to happen. Who's going to benefit? Us. We're going to have more African-American banks. We're going to have more African-American-owned businesses. I mean, everything is going to help us. It's going to make us stronger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, crying and whining about it. Let me make my point, Diva. I'm just saying, crying and whining about the fact that someone who probably doesn't like you anyway, if you in your eyes, has to let you in and take your dollars and keep your dollars bouncing in their communities and everybody's communities but ours, is only going to if everything you're saying is true, then what's the answer? Because the answer isn't let's keep going to these people and giving them our dollars and our and working for these companies when they hate our guts, like you're saying.
You're 100% right. And the answer isn't segregation either. And I'm sorry, Alex, that's what I think that you and this whole opinion.
Who
said it's going to
be across the board?
Segregation is.
Diva, let me tell you something.
Won't happen because people vote with their feet and with their dollars. And the black people are as free to do that under a free market economy. These laws that you're talking about, and you see, if somebody said there shouldn't be a federal law to prevent segregation, but that's a better statement because the laws that prevent segregation, those would be affected also. They would be off the books also. They made those laws, like when you drive down a beach, best example, and you see a no littering sign. It's not because somebody making a sign needed a job. It's because that's what people used to throw litter.
Delusional.
It's not delusional, honey.
No, you guys are delusional.
I vote
you guys are delusional.
Honey, let me tell you
something.
You're delusional.
No,
Diva.
What's
going to
happen
then?
Stop, everybody. Stop.
Diva, you ever had a school teacher?
Diva, you haven't. Wait a minute, you guys. Listen, hold on. Hold on,
please.
Wait, yes, I will let you. Not so blind, Mike. I got to make some ground rules, though.
Okay.
Diva, see, that's the whole thing. Let them finish, too, like we had, like you told us we were doing you. We talked a lot. You start talking right in the middle of his statement, talking about delusional. Let him get the thought out, and then call him delusional when you get the break in action. So, okay, not so blind, Mike. Go ahead.
All I was going to say was this. I was the first blind child in the United States that was allowed, hear the word allowed, to have a public school education. That was 1954. As late as 1966, after the Civil Rights Movement was well established in the United States, there were teachers the first day of school that put their hands on me and physically shoved me out of their classroom screaming that they told the administration they didn't want a blind kid in their class in front of hundreds of witnesses. When was the last time someone put their hands on you or one of your children and pushed you out of a classroom? Has that ever happened to you? And yet I agree with Alabama. Because you know what? There were also teachers who took their own time and spent a lot of time after school with me so I didn't fail, so that I'd be a success story, that I would graduate on time in high school and everything. It goes both ways. There's more good than there is bad in our society, Diva, but the liberals don't see it.
Also, Mike, blind Mike, just to add to your story, like if all I'm saying, I'm disagreeing, if Diva, if what she's saying is true, then there's some doomsday, that thing that's going to happen, and every black person is just going to get screwed over. If that's the case, what is going to happen after that? We just going to all sit and die? Or are we going to get up the next day and go and move forward? I mean,
this is why
I didn't say every black person was going to be screwed over, because as we know, with the Civil War and with the movement for civil rights, there are lots of good people who will move to not allow segregation to continue. So
let's say Walmart has a policy that says no blacks allowed.
apologize, and they should not have to suffer because some people think that segregation is okay.
But you're not going to get all the people that don't like you out of your life, Diva. There's going to be men that don't like you.
But
there's going to be a mailman that doesn't like you. You're going to always run into
some person who doesn't
like you.
This is not about whether or not somebody does not like me. This is bigger than that.
Diva, you just did it again. Diva, you just did it again.
You know what? Like I said, you're all delusional.
When was the last time an employer, and it's not going to be a problem.
When was the last time,
I want to know from any black person on the phone here, when was the last time an employer told you that the reason everybody else got a 25-cent raise and you only got a 5-cent raise is because you were black?
You'll never hear that.
Hey, now your premise is lacking.
Listen, we're getting ready to go to break. There are situations where the black people don't get the big raises and the other people do.
I understand that, but when were they told that to their face?
They're not going to ever be told that to their face because it's against the law to tell them that.
But I was. But the difference is I don't think the whole world's out to get me. You know, there's a difference,
Blind Mike. There's a big difference, and the big difference is we were brought here to do one thing, and nobody wants us to get out of that subservient position, but we'll be back after these messages. And thank God I am on the radio so we can talk about it today. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Heroin and opiate-based drug use is on the rise in the Mahoning Valley. According to a Mahoning County Common Pleas judge, 85% of people using the drug court program are addicted to those kinds of illegal substances. The drug court program started in 1998. The average age participant was 35 back then, and the drug of choice was cocaine. Now the average age of participants is 23, and heroin is their drug of choice. A driver tosses a dog out of a car in Trumbull County, and the dog was hit by a car. It happened in Champion Township on North Park Road. A Good Samaritan rescued the pup after hearing it yelping on the street. The woman says the dog can't use its back legs, and its tail looks broken. 21 Mahoning Valley nonprofits are trying to win $30,000 in technology equipment from a consulting company called DRS. They're competing to get the most votes from the community. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
From the first shots fired at the Battle of Concord in 1775, this great country was founded on personal freedom and the private ownership of firearms. In keeping with that tradition, National Armory is working hard to support your Second Amendment rights. Visit National Armory.
Alabama, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I don't mean to make it sound a black versus blind thing, but what I'm saying is a lot of the liberals are upset about happens to a lot of people. You just got to move past it and get on with the rest of your life because your life is
I wasn't, I, but no, Mike, no, I wasn't. Not, but my thing was with her, and I'm trying to get – my thing is, let's say Walmart says they're not going to cover and allow blacks in. How long is Walmart going to make it in this day and age, in this climate, doing stupid stuff? Like, you can't say anything about a homosexual nowadays, let alone say you're not going to let a black person walk. I mean, I'm not saying that they aren't out there like that. But what I'm saying is if it does happen in the frame, in the scale where we should be concerned, it'll benefit us. If it doesn't, then it's of no concern and we shouldn't worry about it.
But who is this us you're talking about, Alabama? Because you're talking to Blind Mag, who I'm assuming is white, okay? So
say what?
Who is this us? Who is this us that you are talking about? Who is this us that is going
to
be?
In what context did I use the word? I'm trying to see what are you trying to get at? What are you saying?
If such and such happens, that it will only benefit us in the long run. Who is us?
I'm talking about black folks.
Well, you know I'm black. So what you talking about?
Okay.
You know I'm black.
Why are you,
so what are you talking about?
I'm just trying to figure out how are you having a conversation where you're talking about it benefit us to a white person. He's not included in that.
The talking about Diva was
us. Is still you can use the word us to people even though they're not included within that group. That's English. That's literally.
I was agreeing with him.
I was just
And you would also have my support, Diva. There are white people that would say, well, if Walmart's going to pull that crap, I'm not shopping there anymore either. And I would go out of my way to go to the black
people. People are racist and that they're going to have this huge major movement. I'm not talking
about
the whole entire country.
If the majority of the people in this country were racist, Barack Obama wouldn't be president
today. Especially the poorest of areas in places where they're going to try to, again, limit black power.
And they're not doing that now. They're not doing that now, right, Diva?
This will benefit.
That doesn't happen.
All we'll do is come together, come closer together.
But Diva, that doesn't happen today, though, right? That doesn't happen. Is that what you're saying? It's because, oh, man, the door is civil rights, man. We've got to give it to them.
I know you guys got lines in there. The one thing that we have to understand is that when we're talking about racism and all these things and the certain practices, things that are against the law, you will never make people that don't like you like you. That has to be something that they come to on their own. You ain't going to make them. You might as well forget it. And this is the thing. And I don't care. I don't want to join your organization, your club, your fraternity, or something like that if you don't want me in there. That's what the whole mishmash of way back in the 60s with Barry Goldwater was. Barry Goldwater thought that states' rights should have the right to say who is admitted to a club or not. And that's where he had a disconnect with civil rights. That's the only thing he had. Go ahead.
Now, when you say that, do you mean by force of law or by force of private charter?
Well,
in other words, if I own a business,
because
I think you and I disagree on this point.
Okay.
If I own a restaurant down here, and I don't want Italian people in my restaurant, as a business owner, I say I should be allowed to say no Italian people in my restaurant.
No, you just shouldn't serve any meatballs and spaghetti.
I don't agree with that.
Now I say the law, and I say the government has no right to create a law saying that Italian people can't come into my restaurant. That's two entirely different things.
Okay.
A personal choice, and I think that's where the disconnect with Rand and Ron Paul goes, and the libertarians. Libertarians say it's a personal right. And a lot of people can't understand the difference between saying it's a personal right and the people that wanted to make laws, just like smoking. Smoking, for lack of a better term, is one of my pet peeves as a new civil right. If I want to own a restaurant that allows smoking,
you should be able to.
Is it of the government to come in and say, I can't allow smoking in my restaurant? Put a big sign on the front door, this is a smoking restaurant.
Right.
And if you don't want to come in here,
don't come in
here. And guess what? If I go bankrupt because I demand having a smoking restaurant and the guy sitting next to me that has a non-smoking restaurant does better business, the market has spoken.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
I would have to say that if you have a public business, okay, like a restaurant, I don't think you should be able to discriminate, okay, who you serve or don't serve in that restaurant. You have the case to run it like you want to. I believe like you, if it's going to be smoking, hey, you should be able to designate that a smoking place because that's what people like. But the thing is if you have a private club and you guys are private, that's your business.
No,
that's not a public club.
Okay.
For example,
when I was a young man,
Carrollton,
Ohio still had a stag bar.
Yeah.
No women allowed, period.
It still should be able to be that because it is a hangout for men.
Yeah, but it wasn't a private club. You didn't have to have a membership. There was just a sign at the door that said no females.
Yeah, but that's a public thing. They needed to make it private to me. That's how I would see it.
Yeah, because I think that's a little discriminatory thing.
That would be my thought. That would be my thought.
Yeah, if they want private, that's fine with me.
Right.
If it's going to be public, then public is for all. Now, I've also heard this, and Jeff, I was quite shocked when we were downtown still in that little PlayStation there, and the real radio station. And one of our on-air personalities came in and said that civil rights and equal rights were no good, and he was black.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, explain. He says, well, it destroyed black commerce.
Yes, it did.
Okay. And he said that that was that the anti Jim Crow laws were more racist than the Jim Crow laws. And I couldn't wrap that around my brain. I'm still trying to figure out that.
I understood
myself.
What he meant. I can't say that because, like I said, the Jim Crow laws and the black codes took my family's 100 and something acres out of South Carolina.
Right.
Okay, so.
And, you've told me that.
Yes.
And I understand that.
Yes.
And that's force of law.
They've done it by law.
That's force of
law.
That's force of law. That's government. That's not a private person. No.
Yeah.
Without the force of law behind them, your grandfather's neighbor couldn't have come over and taken his land.
Yeah,
great grandfather. Uh-huh. But he had the force of law behind him. And I say that force of law is what is wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. And so you have to watch out for the state's rights and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's not. I understand where Diva was coming from, but I disagree with you, Diva, because of the you're not seeing the difference in the two, and that's how the left gets people to follow them. They don't tell you and differentiate between what is law and what is not.
So,
and what is a federal statute versus a state statute?
Well, let me ask you a question then. When Ricky Branch brought in Jackie Robinson,
mm-hmm.
did it help or hurt the black community?
Oh, it helped immensely.
It helped?
Yeah, but
even
it destroyed
the
black...
Even though the Negro Leagues...
The Negro Leagues...
Were disbanded, and there was a lot of jobs lost.
You had a lot of small, low-paying jobs, but they were their jobs, so yes.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. I don't want to eat at your lunch counter if you don't want me to eat there.
Right.
Okay,
that's my point.
Amen.
Yeah, but here's the thing: if you're serving the public, okay, and by reason of whatever the public is, you are there as an institution to feed this, that, and other. I think that you owe something to the people who are there because don't forget. Their taxes paid the doggone things that paved your street and built your doggone sidewalks. So, therefore, you can't just discriminate if you have a public business. Now, if it's a private club, like I say, once again, that's up to that club. I don't care what kind of club. I don't care if you Moon Mullins. You know, you should be able to have your private club.
But don't you think that by passing these laws, disallowing personal discrimination, for lack of a better word, we've driven racism underground?
Yes, exactly. That's why. That's why I say.
And you think that's a good thing?
No, I don't think.
You think that's a good thing?
Well, to a certain extent, it is because, in this sense, you don't have the right to meet and. Really, and then discriminate against a people just for the hell of discriminating against them. It's not
Whoa.
A good thing. Because that's what they do. I mean, that's what's done. People that are racist, they meet and they figure out systems. That's why I tell you Planned Parenthood and the National Democrat Party have done a wonderful job at destroying black people. They're destroying us left and right. Okay, Planned Parenthood is killing 400,000 black babies a year, okay? And then the Democrats that run all these cities and run all these municipalities and these businesses, et cetera, and you're sitting there with black faces running a thing, and your people look like they're from Biafra.
Like Detroit?
Like Detroit, like Youngstown, like any other place. Cleveland, let's name Pittsburgh, let's go on. It's the same. And I really get emotionally upset about this one because that's how they have kept you from becoming economically independent again. Alabama is exactly right that if we lost every right overnight, that we would adapt and find a way to survive in this country and still make money and still live well.
Well, then also, if you look back, my mom and my dad, they used to talk about the year back when they were young, they were 10 and 12 years old, when they did the boycott in Montgomery, and mm-hmm. they were talking about what my dad used to tell me was it was something tangible that black people could come together and work towards. And with goals, it allowed us to move further ahead. We haven't stuck together since that. And so since we fought for those rights, once we got those quote-unquote rights, now we're still screaming the same racism. But now the rules are, well, not really. You just didn't have your paperwork in order. You just didn't have this. Your credit score just isn't. It's always something. So I'd rather have the enemy I know than the enemy I don't know. But you want an enemy that you can see, feel, and touch. It didn't try to fight somebody that I know I can't see the rules. They're looking me in my face and smiling, and they're telling me, oh, Mr. Green, you just didn't get the loan because you don't have the credit history. You don't have the – it's all – they can just make something. You go see some other guy, white guy, come in there, and he gets the loan with a lower score and no credit. And you're like, well, what happened? But see, but he can always go back and say, well, we gave him the loan for another reason. So I'd rather just go to a black bank because we don't have enough loans. We start putting our pool, our resources, we're going to start our own bank. We're going to. So I go to the black bank and get a loan. At least I know what's going on.
And you have black bank.
Because I'm the type of person where I may not want to eat at your lunch counter. You may not like me, but I'm going to eat at the lunch counter because you don't like me. I'm going to move into this neighborhood that doesn't want me there because I'm black. I'm the only black person in there. Why? Because you don't want me there. I'm going to take the job, even though I know you hate me for my skin color. Why? Because you don't want me there. But whatever I can do to push myself forward and to move past whatever hate you have, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to let your hate stymie me and keep me from moving forward.
Aren't we doing the same thing? That's what I said, moving forward. Because owning your own is moving forward, just like working
you
for somebody
move
that ain't your debt is moving
aggregated.
Forward. If you're using your money,
you know what, but Diva, let's say it like this: we still have Buckeye Elks clubs in America. Okay, that's not a bad thing. That's because the people that like to have sporting events, cook, and do things like they do them because of their ethnicity, they can still do them. Now, I'm not trying to take anybody's ethnicity away from them. Have your private clubs. But if you have a public business, because the tax thing is so convoluted, you really don't have a right to discriminate about who you serve, don't serve, et cetera, et cetera.
Agreed.
That's all I was saying about Sam's
Wholesale. You don't have a membership. It's really private.
More or less, but they don't discriminate.
Based on skin color. It's not,
but they don't. Yeah. They don't stop us from. Buying that membership and going in there.
No.
And I'm glad. I'm glad they don't.
But economically, you can call that an economic discrimination because if you can't afford the money for the membership, yeah, you should be shopping anyhow. So.
What I don't understand about Diva's position, why would she take a job in a place and lend her intelligence, her effort, her sweat to growing them and rewarding those people financially who have those attitudes about her, and in a place where, because of their attitude, she has no upward mobility, go somewhere else where you can improve yourself, and that's what I did. When they told me that I was only getting the nickel because I was blind, and I should be grateful that as a blind person I even had a job, if this is a place. They did me a favor, Dee, because you know what I did? I voted with my feet. 3 months later, I was self-employed, and the anniversary of that will be September 3rd, and I've been self-employed for 40 years. Not only did I improve myself, my family, my neighborhood, my city where I grew up in, I went on to create over $155 million worth of employment over a nickel that someone wouldn't give me. You stay there, they win. They get to use you, enslave you, and
like
and
a horse.
Your effort, and you can benefit nobody because they're never going
you
to recognize
you. You think I'm
going to
let my family starve because someone doesn't like my skin color? You think I'm not going to provide for my family because someone doesn't like my skin color? You think I'm not going to better my
Well, then also, but you're going to stay there for 40 years. You're going to stay there 40 years and work for somebody that don't like you.
I don't stay anywhere past 2 to 3 years. So that's why I say for me personally, I can't say for everybody else, and I can't say that I work for everybody else.
Yeah.
I know how I am. I'm going to better myself. I'm going to move myself forward, pick myself up, keep it going, and then move on. That's just how I am. I don't let what others think of me personally. I don't really let it get to me all like that. Do I hate being called
the N-word? If you stay there, Diva, and somebody comes in and you train them and they get it, how are you going to not let that bother you? That's not going to bother you, Diva.
Oof. I didn't say I'm going to – okay, let me rephrase. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to get all bent out of shape, acting crazy, and not and then mess up my livelihood. I'm not going
to
do that.
Alabama, that's exactly what happened to me. They hired 4 guys that I had to train, and I found out that they were starting them at more money than I was making after 7 years of working there. And these are guys
I
had to train.
I successfully sued my previous employer because of disability discrimination.
You know what, though? Tommy Sowell has a book when he talks about how the Jewish people, when they first got here over 100 years ago, how they had an entrepreneurial attitude. We're going to have that if what you're saying could take place. Would have to switch from I'm going to work this job for 50 years and retire to, you know what, I may work 2 years, I'm going to do this, I'm going to work on my credit and see about getting a loan and go out and do what I'm doing for this guy, this white guy who my guts. I'm going to go do this on my own and be his competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think like that.
Yeah.
We did. When we were sharecropping, we were like that. Now, of course, the government got involved in trying to stop us, but
yeah.
we were running circles around these people, and we can compete. It's almost
mind.
Like we can't compete. We can only get a job and work with. No, we can beat them. We can be better.
I see what you're saying. The only thing I have a problem with is you just want it relegated to the black community. That's the only thing I have a problem.
What
why
do you mean?
You want if we could only make so much, and that's been shown through the black dollars. I mean,
we got
$1 trillion
worth of spending power, though. Where do you think it's going?
And how much more so if you branch out and not just limit it to the black African-American community?
Who's to say if I open a business, I have to work with black? I can sell to anybody but black people.
Rappers,
that's all I was saying.
About,
I'm not saying,
I mean,
look, I'll patronize white businesses, but I prefer to spend with a black-owned business. I would, but that doesn't mean I won't go to a McDonald's that's owned by a white guy. I will, but I will spend, but my money will go in my computer.
I don't care where my dollars are going. As long as the product is good, as long as the service.
See, but everybody else thinks. Everybody thinks different than you. They think they care where their dollars are going. You don't. That's why we suffer. Go ahead.
No, we don't suffer. We suffer because we allow ourselves to suffer. Like you said.
We open up a business and don't patronize black business. Then it goes out of business, and then you'll go to an Arab business, and the Arab business sloppy. And see, they don't run the best businesses. Let's be honest. But we'll go get them our dollar.
It is the one thing that irritates me about black entrepreneurs. For some reason, they think I come up with an idea and I'll put it in the black community and it'll thrive. No, you have to market that area. You have to have a product that is in that
You don't have to be
space.
Successful and practice smart business practices.
But you can't just put in a product that no one's going to buy and think
who's saying that? You're going left to the point, Diva. Quit being emotional. Think. I didn't say that. You're just making something up.
Come on now.
Hey, guys, you just make
yourself
up, Diva. I ain't
say that. All right.
Hey, guys.
And you get mad and say, why are my people not supporting you? Because you don't have a product that they want to buy.
Diva.
That's not emotion.
Hold on a second.
That's common
sense. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let me say something here. Mike can verify. I don't know if he's been yet, but there's a little place in Florence called Dolce Vita.
Yes, I was just
and
thinking about that, South Carolina. I was just thinking about that. And I got to get up there and support that business.
Yep. You walk in this place, and every face in there, with the exception of 2, are white. Okay? And they're having a good time. They're talking. They're eating chocolate. And they're drinking their wine. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start to notice a weird dynamic. There's this black guy going in and out of the prep area. And all the white people are talking to him and conversating with him, and then you realize, hey,
he owns the business. He took it upon himself to go all the way to Belgium, learn how to make this chocolate, come back, and start a little shop in Florence, South Carolina. And he doesn't care what color, who hands the money comes from. He doesn't care.
And part of what I was saying, I wasn't saying that black businesses fail because they have bad product. A lot of reasons black businesses fail, there are multiple. But among those are the fact that they have a lack of patronage. And it's not always just they have a bad product. That's not always the answer. There was a guy that started a grocery store, a great grocery store, opened up this mega grocery store in the black community. They would rather go to the other side of town. This guy spent millions of dollars, gave him a nice bang-up grocery store, went out of business. Sometimes we don't. We just don't. We prefer going to someone of another race. We do.
Oh. Well, for my
It's not
for
always
my
they just got bad products. That's not always the key. That's not always
well,
the answer. Well, they just had a bad product. Not everybody.
With my experience and those of people that I know, there was a black store. They never had anything. They never had anything on the shelves. Nothing, and then they never had any of the things that I would want.
Well, there are
a lot of
dynamics. Like for one, like suppliers refuse to sell to these people too because that's what the Koreans do when they get in the hair industry.
Okay,
and I have a friend that they won't sell him weed. They won't sell him the good weed now.
Because they're having a hardship with their manufacturer or with somebody getting
their
product.
No, but I would patronize their business to keep them in afloat myself
as much as
you possibly can. I'm not saying you should walk around looking like a fool by the head, but you that should at least say, I'm going to buy my chemicals from this guy, and I'm going to go over here and buy the hair from this. At least I'm going to give him something to try. You know, you saying they ain't going to go after
with Tracy and Lawrence, the local talk show that stimulates your mind. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. We're talking to you about what's on our mind and talking to those on the phone. We got into a very good discussion on civil rights and some other things like that and how things work. And we have our resident, a liberal, Ms. Diva. Diva, we're going to call Steve up again. I know he's listening. I know he's going to call him just because he know you're on the line. But anyway, in doing this, we were trying to explain the difference of why certain things happened during the civil rights movement. And whoever's got background noise, please try to shut it off if you can. So... here's the thing. We don't want somebody to I don't want to join your private club. If you have a private club and you only want Hibernians in it, whatever it is. If you're from Guatemala and this is the Guatemala club. Well, that's your club. You can have whoever you want to in it.
I'm not going to go over to Canton and try to join the Negro old timers.
Right, right. The old timers over there. Because that's not your thing. Okay?
That'd be fun. Why would you
go? It sure would. Now, but see, here's the thing. Only big difference is this. You would be welcome at the Negro old timers club. They wouldn't say anything to you. They'd enjoy you being there. They'd buy you some drinks. They'd hang out with you, make you laugh. Because that's us. That's how black people generally are culturally in America.
Yeah.
Now, and that's right, not so blind, Mike. And but in a lot of places, I've been to and done some things, and people are just nasty because of what they think you are, and that's something you cannot change unless you change.
Yeah.
Coming in contact with you. I never forget this gentleman moved out of our neighborhood Caucasian gentleman, and his son was my playmate. And I remember that he was talking to my father. My father saw a for sale sign in front of his house. And he said, well, such and such, you're going to leave, huh? You're going to move, huh? And he said, oh, Bill, he called my father Bill by his first name. He said, I can't live around these N-words no more. I can't live around that. And he said it like that, just like that, right? Now,
wow.
Then he looked at my father and he said, I'm not talking about you, Bill. I'm not talking about you. But, and he started telling what he meant by what he said.
Yeah.
Look, you're not going to change that. Go ahead.
But you know what, this whole discussion, remember there was a Star Trek episode.
Yes, I remember. I know which one you're going to.
There was a Star Trek episode, and it was the last two inhabitants of a planet were chasing each other in a duel to the death.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy was black on the left hand of his body and white on the right half, and the other guy was just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, can't you see the difference why we're at each other's throats? And I think that's, you know, somebody, God looking down from heaven is saying that to us.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you people?
Yeah. Also, to support what Jeff says about the black culture being more open to taking in people who don't, you know, like that club would, it's a trait that I have personally found exists in most people who've been in the one down position and know what it is to be hurt that way. And they're more open and receptive to new ideas and other people. The people who've lived these perfect, pristine lives and you know, and never saw any diversity or anything else, they're the ones that you got to watch out for. That's my own personal life experience. You show me somebody who wears the tattoo from a Nazi concentration camp. You show me some black person who's been done a few times in this society. You show me a yellow person or a white person or something who knows what hard times are and the irrational nonsense of ignorance and bigotry, and you will find somebody who will open their refrigerator to you and give you their last crust of bread.
Well, we have to do is look at the Bosnians and the Serbians. All of us over here can look at those people. We can't tell the difference in them, but boy, they know each other, and
sure,
they hate each other for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And but I always enjoyed
that
going to places that, you know, aren't the culture that I grew up in. I always found those experiences pretty enriching and rewarding.
Well, so did I, because I was privileged to be able to travel when I was young. My
mm-hmm.
father was, being a professional, always had somewhere to go each summer, and we went somewhere each summer,
mm-hmm.
Just about each summer, not every. But in doing so, I got to see a lot of things. I've got to know a lot of different people
mm-hmm.
all over the United States, and literally all over the United States. And so it created my worldview, per se. And I appreciated that, and I appreciate it now because it allows me, I'm not afraid to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's nowhere I'm afraid. Where I live, I'll tell you, some of my friends, and it's not even, you know, we have plenty of black families in my neighborhood, but a lot of friends and relatives will tell me, man, I ain't coming out there after night. You're not going to get me in trouble out there. Mr. I said, are you crazy? You really believe this? Is that what you feel? I'm not afraid to go everywhere. Styx really lives out, okay? If Styx had said, Jeff, come on down, you know, because he helped me out on something, and I would say, come on down and help me out on something that's going to be out tonight, I wouldn't be afraid to go to Styx's neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I'm not afraid. But the thing is a lot of people are afraid of things that they really don't know why. It's only been what they've been told.
Right.
Yeah.
It's what you've been told. All the Republicans is prejudiced. No, they're not.
No.
No, they're not.
All the Democrats are for minorities.
Yeah, all the Democrats support minorities and civil rights. No, they don't.
Right.
And it should be very evident. But go ahead.
I'm bothered by the unfair, incredibly emotional, wrenching television ads that the liberals put on, like the old lady in the wheelchair being pushed over a cliff. you know, and they said and they had a Republican doing that, you could put anybody on there that you wanted to smear and put their hands on the handles. Put a Jew, put a gay guy, you know, put a Muslim, anybody, put a Catholic, put a Catholic priest, anybody you want to bash, you could just recycle that commercial over and over again. And what does that commercial really say? Does it speak the truth? No.
No.
It's a highly inflammatory gesture to invoke emotion so everybody suspends reason. And it's no different than what Hitler did and what the Klan did or anybody. It's how unions hold their memberships together, God almighty.
Absolutely. What you said is key. Is what you just said was key. You said it suspends reason.
Yeah.
And that is what the state of politics in America is right now. Reasoning has been suspended for a conjecture and this foolishness that you hear out of the people's mouths. Go ahead.
For example, I went to watch the movie Frack Nation here, and it was shown at an open-air theater, and it debunks Josh Fox's Gasland. And in Gasland, they're saying there's a town in Texas by the name of Dish, Texas, where there's so much natural gas in the air that you get sick. Now, just stop and think about that statement. I'm selling natural gas. The purpose of this well is to create natural gas. Why am I turning it loose into the atmosphere?
You're not.
It just makes no sense, but yet you get people's emotions up, and they put their brains in park.
And the parts of the world where they are releasing it into the air is where there's no market for it. Like over in the Middle East, when they get it with their drilling wells, they literally burn it off because they have no piping system to bring it.
We burn it off too because we until lately we haven't had the bright idea to compress natural gas.
They're flaming off a lot of natural gas in South Dakota because they don't have any infrastructure. They're taking the oil, and there's always natural gas with oil. And they just don't. There's no infrastructure to get the get the natural gas where it needs to be. And what's really terrible about this thing? Now we're getting on another tangent with the energy.
As always, as we always.
The
do.
City of New York is paying an outrageous price for natural gas right now.
Yeah.
Because they were getting natural gas from Canada, and those fields are drying up.
Yeah.
But they are sitting on, the state of New York is sitting on one of the largest natural gas reserves in the nation, and they refuse to allow them to drill for it.
Yeah.
It's just like
the border into Pennsylvania, drill down, then drill horizontally, tap under New York, and turn around and sell it back to them with an 8-inch long pipe that you have that goes right into New York State.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this one. Check this out. Years ago, I used to listen to a teacher on the radio, a Bible teacher on the radio by the name of Malcolm Smith. And he was telling this story about somewhere he was at in Africa where they worshipped the goat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because they worshipped the goat was a holy symbol of them. They let the goats do whatever they wanted to do, just like in India, certain
cows.
cows can do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the goats did? They ate everything up that they could because they just, all they did was reproduce and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the people weren't going to bother them because that's their holy symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So now, out of ignorance, this is what you do. They, when Malcolm Smith and them came into Africa and they began to teach the Bible and the God of the Bible instead of worshiping a goat, the people started turning around and they were prospering. Why? Because they no longer had to let the goat take everything of theirs just because it was their symbol. Well, I tell the African-American community, your goat that's destroying your crop is how you vote. And I'm not saying to never vote for Democrats. I'm not saying that because, like I said, I have some Democrat friends that I would vote for in a heartbeat. I'm talking about the national mindset that supports the Planned Parenthood, that supports the gay rights, that supports the socialistic views that you think you're going to be taken care of. But look at just what happened.
Hey, Jeff.
If you, Wait a minute, Todd, I'm going to let you go. Who's going to help you pay for your health care? And the elite just voted themselves in that the taxpayer is going to pay for their health care under the new health care law that they passed. It's stupid behind, mindless. Nancy Pelosi said, you have to pass the bill before we can find out what's in it. And if we don't do this, we can't possibly know. How stupid! Now go ahead, Sal.
Have you guys ever heard of a Judas code?
Yes.
Okay. That's how I kind of see some of our so-called leaders of Black America. They're Judas goats. Mm-hmm. They're leading other folks to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. By the millions. And if you don't think that 400,000 babies a year is a slaughter, I understand. I listen to this thing. If anybody can go there and listen, go to see the great debate that was done on, I believe, CNN. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. It was done on something else. But go look at the great debate. You had what's her name? We've had Star Parker on here several times. With Star Parker and Neville, I forget his name, two conservatives against Al Sharpton and Sting Malvo. I can't think of her first name. You need to listen and see that debate because Al Sharpton made a very ignorant statement, very ignorant statement about how, you know, that when you vote Democrat, you're voting for the least problem because you can't look at the Republican because you know you're not going to get anything there. That was a lie. Republicans can be dealt with as well as Democrats, but Democrats have your mind built up and held captive to where you won't think past them. You have to quit letting them be your goats because they're destroying your crops. You're not getting any return. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Be right back.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy...
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you said those were Judas goats. I thought Jeff was going to go, Democrats are goats.
Oh, you guys got some nerve.
I'm picking on you, Diva. I said that just because I knew you were listening.
I had to tune out because I'm in the middle of something, but I heard that. I'm like, oh, man, you guys.
Yeah, I
think
tune
we
out
need to
too.
Stop looking at each other as one side is more evil than the other and learn how to work together.
Yeah, I've got to run here shortly because I got to get working on some payroll issues here because otherwise I am going to have black folks picketing me because they're expecting money from me this week along with the white folks
that I
hired.
You better get them their money.
Yeah, yep, I better because I don't want to be put on Diva's list of evil white guys that won't pay black folks.
No, that would be Alex's list. That's not my list.
Oh, God.
You'd be an evil employer who won't pay people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to fix you two up. All right. Alex, are you single?
No, Alex is married.
Oh, he's there. He's married? Well,
yeah.
Okay, that doesn't work out. Diva's waiting.
Alabama?
Y'all
going
to have to... No. Mm. And then y'all going to have to quit trying to be matchmakers on this show.
Oh, she got something for Steve.
I
want to
buy the house next door and leave my windows open and record the conversation.
I don't doubt that. Alex is a great guy. We just can't jive ideologically. And I want harmony in my home.
You think?
This table and that table.
I'm not mad at you.
Anyway. Well, I got to run and go... You know, bring home the bacon. But, hey, it's been fun as always.
I'm like, South Carolina, that's why I'm single now.
Well, you got to move to one of them liberal blue states like Rhode Island or Massachusetts to find you a guy then.
No, because I don't want a liberal. I don't want someone that liberal. I'm very conservative in my personal life.
I sent out an email to a handful of close friends. This came to me from a lady who is a retired nun, and it was an incident she witnessed at a welfare office. And all it said in the email was a young man. That's all it said. My liberal friends all wrote back to me that I was being racist and that how dare I put something out, because they all said, and I wrote back, what do you mean racist? There's nothing in there about race. They said, yes, because it's about a young black man. And I was going, where? So, of course, my computer doesn't read every word to me sometimes, so maybe I missed something, in which case I would never send anything like that out there. Well, when I read it and reread it and called up the nun, she says, nowhere does it say a young black man. So I contacted all my liberal friends and made them reread it, and they said, oh, they saw the word black in the thing because that's where they expected it was going to go.
Oh.
And it's like there was a lesson right there. There's a great TV show on TV, and I don't remember the name, but it's a whole show on showing you brain studies and how your brain will trick you into seeing things, how magicians do what they do and everything else. And apparently, because of these people, extreme ideology, they saw the word black in that email, and nowhere does it appear in that email.
That study is not just when it comes to black and white. That comes with to a lot of stuff. Where word association, you see one word and you'll automatically associate something with that one word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I have one of those. It literally, if you look at it, it's a bunch of
the shake and a screw, and yeah, it still has a light bulb in it, so you want to be careful.
Well, folks, I got to run, but it's been a real pleasure being with all of you. Take care of yourselves.
You too.
Be good to yourselves. Bye bye.
You too. That table and that top table ain't gonna fall off, is it?
(945) 5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM online at TracyandFriends.com or 600-WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Well, you heard the numbers here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. It's Jeff and Sticks. Ben had to dip out of here, and he did. And we were talking about some of the things, during the breaks we have some discussions as well. And we're talking about all the things that are a certain way and about how poor people or not just poor people, because some people aren't poor because they're poor because they want to be. Some don't want to be poor, but some are because they want to be poor because they like what the government does, and they'll just let the government do it for them. That's what I'm talking about.
You got to hear this.
You guys, we're going to play a little clip here. And we're going to talk about it right after the clip. It's Open Line Monday, and you guys can talk about whatever you want to, on the phone here. You chime in. But we're going to play this clip first. I want you to listen to this.
1 million Americans are on the program now. That is just one of the alarming stats you'll learn later tonight in a special look at the growing food stamp binge. It will feature this incredible look at the lifestyle of one of the people you're supporting. Here's Senior National Correspondent John Roberts.
Meet Jason Greenslade, food stamp recipient.
Another day in the life of Jason living at Rat Life.
And what exactly is the Rat Life?
Well, your typical day. And you're like a early morning guy, get out and get some waves, and sort of later in the afternoon?
Yeah, later in the afternoon kind of guy. Wake up, go down the beach, meet up with my friends, skate it up, get on some chicks.
Want a beer?
Start drinking.
All day, every day.
Caught up with Greenslade in La Jolla, California, close to where he grew up. The 29-year-old has chosen the life of a beach bum in this seaside paradise. With no fixed address, Jason has, for the last couple of years, floated from place to place, staying with family, pals, and girls he's dated.
Nice day today, though, huh?
He gets by with a little help from his friends and you, the taxpayer.
My EBT SNAP card. It's got the coast of California on it.
So how do you get a SNAP card?
Just go out to the human resource office, have your birth certificate and your social security card. I've got a paycheck coming in, so I qualify. That's that.
And how often do you have to do that? Is it every month, every 6 months?
We got it now. It's where you only do it once a year.
Things have changed. Back in 1996, if you were an able adult like Jason, with no family, there were limitations. You could get food stamps for only 3 months every 3 years. The exception, if you were working at least a 20-hour work week or participated in a work fair or training program. President Obama wiped away those restrictions when he signed his stimulus bill in 2009.
There you go.
And in 2010, Obama used his regulatory powers to extend the suspension of those welfare-to-work requirements.
So you fill out a form for a SNAP card, they give you that for a year, no questions asked.
Yeah, good to go, you're golden.
It's $200 a month, right?
Yeah, $200, free money, radical, why not? This is my job right here to make sure everything's rolling smoothly, make sure the sun's up and the girls are out.
How big a part of your life is surfing?
Oh, I surf every day. It's wonderful, man. Just get away from everything, clear your head, get out with the boys and have a good time.
Living the life, never a dull moment. Another day in paradise.
Party of your life?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Party of my bad.
So it's off to the gourmet section of the local food mart.
I got my rainbow roll. We got ahi, salmon, eel, yellowtail with rice and avocado. And then they had lobster on special. We got lobster and coconut water.
Then Jason's off to the automated checkout counter. Food stamp card at the ready.
$200 a month, and you just go like, boom.
Thank you for shopping with us.
Just like that.
Please remove your bag.
All paid for by our wonderful tax dollars.
Is that typically the type of thing that you'll get on the SNAP card?
Yeah, I'll usually get sushi, but make it my own way. But they didn't have any good fish, so I just got the pre-made stuff.
EBT lobsters.
Blasphemous right there. Does anybody want a piece?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that this notion of holding down a steady job just is something that is not in your wheelhouse?
That's not the direction I'm going right now.
That's just not something that appeals to you, though.
Not whatsoever.
I have to say, I didn't really know what to expect when I sat down with Jason. I was really taken aback that he seemed completely unembarrassed about sponging off the rest of us in this manner. This was a guy who struck me as capable of pulling his own weight, as resourceful, even intelligent, and went to San Diego State for a while, and then to a technical school where he trained to become a recording engineer. But then he realized what he really wanted in life.
I'm skating to class, and here comes Motley Crue walking down the halls, all carrying a bottle of Jack, partying, and I just realized, like, I don't want to be the guy recording those guys. Like, I want to be the guy being those guys.
He wanted to be a rock star.
So you decided that was going to be your life from
there. Yeah, and I want to be heard. I don't want to listen.
And wait until you hear what else Jason had to say.
When the founding fathers laid out their vision of the country, one of the things they wanted to do was have this be a place where people were free to pursue happiness. Isn't pot the way a lot of people pursue happiness?
Well, that's well, don't everybody jump in at one time. 269, you know what to do if you want to talk. Just hit the number one and we'll get you in the queue. You know, we've been talking about a number of things, but that's the state of our America. will give a guy $200 a month to spend on food.
However he pleases.
However he pleases. Maybe a little, you know, resistance here or there on certain items, but not much. And guess what?
Buy lobster, you can't buy toilet paper.
You can't buy toilet paper. You can't wipe your behind, but you can put something in your mouth that's going to come out your behind. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Does it make sense?
Makes sense to
me. I'm lost here. Go ahead. Say that again, Diva.
That makes sense. It makes sense to me. It's food stamps. It's called food stamps for a reason. It's for food. Lobsters is food. Yes, it's a luxury item. But are we going to start discriminating against poor people of the items that they cannot buy when it comes to food?
Yes, we start discriminating against poor people to make a little bit of better decisions.
Poor people can't have a little bit of luxury in their life. I mean, it's not like they can afford a nice car, a nice home of their own with a nice backyard. So we're going to make them feel even worse because we won't even allow them to have lobster.
By what right? By whose authority gives the federal government a right to take the fruit of my labor so someone else can afford better groceries than I can afford?
It's not a federal government program. It's a state program. It's really a state program. It's just that the state gets money from the federal government, not all of it, but the state gets money from the government to fund it.
But where does the money that the federal government and the state ultimately come from?
And Sticks, you can afford to buy a lobster. You just choose not to buy a lobster because you can't afford to buy a lobster. Come on.
Sticks, if he were to go buy a lobster, he would be buying it with the money that he earned by working.
Okay,
this
but that
man,
was not
this,
that was not the
this,
point he made. He said, this, why should poor people who get federal or get taxpayer subsidized money to buy groceries, why can they buy better groceries than him, more luxury groceries than him? Like I was saying, he can afford to buy a lobster. He just chooses not to.
Now, wait, hold on.
At the expense,
you don't see what you just said. You don't see anything wrong with what you just said. You honestly don't understand why he could buy lobster with his hard-earned money that he earned. You don't see the difference between that and somebody else who's poor getting food stamps using our hard-earned money to buy their lot. You don't understand that, honestly?
Oh, I completely understand what he's saying. Do I agree with it? No, because once it leaves your hands to go to another person, it's no longer your money. It becomes that person's
money. But Diva, if someone removes wealth from me without my permission, isn't that theft?
Oh my gosh, whatever.
He's not going to see it like that, too.
But here's let's go one step further, because things don't cost money. Things cost other things. And you are right to a point, Diva. If I buy lobster, I can't afford to put money into my 401k so that when I retire, I'm not a ward of the state.
Okay, that's your choice. I'm not saying whether you're right or wrong. I'm just saying it's your choice whether or not you want to buy a lobster. It's not the fact that you can't afford to not buy a lobster. You just choose not to buy a lobster.
Diva, since 1994... when my daughter was born, I couldn't afford to buy a lobster, and I went to work every day. I paid taxes all those times, and it pisses me off to think that this guy is sitting on that beach in California.
That was driving an Escalade. In the video, he was driving an Escalade.
Yeah, now how the hell did he get an Escalade? Okay, that's number one. Number two, he's sitting on there, and he's loading up with stuff, all kind of stuff that he can just have a good old time with, and I couldn't afford to provide for my family that while I was working.
As a question, do you guys think that everyone who collects food stamps does not work? Do you think that 47 million government food stamps
no,
don't work?
That's not the point. That's not what we were saying. We want to help people that are less fortunate than us. We don't want to help the a-holes who are just screwing up.
Gaming the system.
Okay, I get that, but
that's
you said
he doing.
Has how can he afford to have an Escalade if he's on food stamps? Yeah, I mean,
because he has,
I don't know, maybe somebody
no
co-signed
income
for him to have a nice car, and he put a down payment on with his income tax return. Who knows?
Why are they going to end there? Don't got any income.
Yeah.
So are we saying
that
people on food stamps shouldn't be allowed to have some type of luxury if somebody's willing to help them out with it?
Michigan man, go ahead. I can't take it.
Yeah. Well, I see y'all, as usual, giving this boo-boo analysis of welfare. But listen, let me put a different angle on it. I don't agree with my government giving Israel the hard-earned money that, for me, paying taxes, and they give money to Israel. Now, I don't agree with that.
But you have a much better benefit.
Israel didn't work for that money. Why would
yeah, they do. No. Don't say that.
Listen.
Don't say
now,
that because it's not true.
Okay,
it's
what
not
does
true.
Israel, what specifically does Israel do to get
their military? Their military makes sure that the balance of power in the Middle East stays open.
That has nothing to do with it. See, you're going to go ahead and give me an analysis of, oh, we need them in the Middle East. We're talking about here, tax dollars being spent or somebody gaming the system. I just wanted to give you that example. I'll give you another one. I don't think it's fair that those companies like GE making billions of dollars able to game the system and not pay any income tax.
Well, finally we agree
one
on something, Michigan.
I'll give you another one. I don't agree with companies like Whirlpool in a depressed area going and getting every damn tax break they can when they're in a community that's already depressed. I don't agree with that.
Okay, so Michigan, are you saying that you agree with this guy being able to get food stamps and do as he pleases?
No, what I'm saying is you guys are giving that analysis to make the argument against food stamps by bringing out an extreme.
No, we're not.
Hey, that's really your point. That's your point. That's what you're trying to do.
No.
What you're doing it. You're doing it on the fly.
No, what we're trying to say, Michigan. What we're trying to say, Michigan, is there needs to be better controls on this. There's no reason that an able-bodied 29-year-old man should be receiving food stamps.
Well, why don't you say there needs to be better controls on corporate tax breaks?
Because we weren't talking about that at the time.
Oh, yeah,
but
that's the point. You've never talked about that.
Yes, we do. I agree. Michigan, I agree with you on General Electric. I would cut every solar subsidy. I would cut every wind subsidy. I would do away with the entire income tax if it was up to me.
Hey, go find the shows where you all specialized on corporate tax breaks. I'll give you a dollar for each show you can find.
I don't think we specialized on this either.
You're not going to find an entire show, but I have always been against subsidies. I was against the auto bailout. I was against the bank bailout.
Me three.
I was against every one of these bailouts that's been done. And you can go back and we can find the tape on all of that.
Just given to Israel. They don't produce anything for us.
But that's not true.
What products do they produce?
They produce a security. That's what they produce.
Wait a minute. They do not provide security for the United States of America.
Yes,
here.
They absolutely
do.
Failed on 9/11. That's for sure.
America is not in the Middle East. What are you talking about?
America is absolutely in the Middle East.
I didn't know America was in the Middle East.
Why do you think in the Middle East and in Northern Africa you just had them shut down all of their consulates and things up under the threat of Al Qaeda that we had the first punk president in place?
You're talking about America's expansion to try to run the world. Now America expanding them.
They're there to create diplomatic relationships to keep peace in the world. That's what you have a embassy for.
Yes, embassies and military expansion are two entirely different things.
Yeah.
You have civilized nations need embassies in each other's capitals to talk back and forth. Absolutely.
How many embassies are in there? How many embassies are in America?
One for every country we do business with in Washington, D.C. And consulates scattered throughout the country.
Absolutely.
And the United Nations in New York.
There should be an embassy in America for every country that they're in.
Countries that do not have an embassy in here on one hand. There's no Iranian embassy.
Okay.
There's no North Korean embassy.
Back to the food standpoint, you guys are failing to realize there's one entity that won't be upset about that guy buying lobsters on food stamps, and that's the lobster industry. You guys are complaining about the food and the food stamp program, but those food stamps drive the economy. Whether you feel that the very small group is taking advantage, they're still, because they can only be used for food. So they help with the economy, especially the 47 million people who are using those food stamps to feed their families.
This is Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
everybody.
I heard that.
No, they don't drive the economy. That's a lie.
Diva.
So you mean to tell me people spend those food stamps, they don't move that product off them shelves
right.
from stores?
Diva,
if you take a dollar from me, if you take a dollar from me and give it to another person, that's a dollar that I didn't have to spend. It's the same dollar.
Here's the thing. It don't matter where the money is going. It's coming out of your taxes. It doesn't matter where it's going. The fact of the matter is, it's going to someone who is able to go into a store and buy food and help that business.
Right.
That business has to pay more taxes as well.
And if that surfing person had his own job instead of using the food stamps, then there would be two people instead of just one.
Here's where you got it all backwards. Not everyone on food stamps is not working. Majority of the people on food stamps work.
We're not saying we're not enough to pay for
bills and food, so the government subsidizes income with food stamps.
Diva, we're not saying that. What we are trying to make you understand is every dollar that the government spends comes out of a taxpayer's pocket unless it is manufactured out of thin air. I will put my charitable giving up against anybody I'm talking to. Voluntary charitable giving. What I'm saying is, when the government removes a dollar from my pocket, that's a dollar that I no longer have a choice where to put. Therefore, if my neighbor has cancer and my neighbor down the street that is like this surfer dude, I can't give that dollar to my neighbor with cancer because the surfer dude got the dollar. That's my point.
But you're failing to realize your neighbor with cancer, if they're unable to work, will also qualify for food stamps. So are you mad that your neighbor
who
has cancer...
It's not enough. No, here's the thing, because that neighbor was probably a productive citizen. And the problem with this is these guys are doing, he just told you, he sits on the beach and drinks all day.
And he has no plans of ever going to work.
Doesn't want to go to work. He's just going to use whatever government subsidy and handouts and whatever he can make on the side to do this, that, and the other. That's what we're talking about. This is a huge difference. I'm ticked off that he's buying lobster with a direction card or whatever you call it. Oh yeah, I'm very ticked off. You know why?
I'd take away his lobster and give him toilet paper.
Exactly, because I can't buy lobster.
You make more than me, and I could go and buy a lobster.
If you can go buy one and it won't upset the rest of your household, then that's good. That's whoopee for you. But I'm not on any.
But Diva,
you can buy a cheap lobster.
Well, I'm ticked off that the government is taking my tax dollars and sending them over to Israel. I'm ticked off.
Well, I got you. But Israel, Israel provides a very keen
service for you. They don't provide nothing for me. They don't provide nothing for me.
Music.
Okay.
What's up, man?
You see? So you see what I'm saying? I'm ticked off that Whirlpool is in a community and sucking out every economic development area they can and asking for every tax break that they can and don't need it and know that they're in the depressed community. I'm ticked off about that.
Who decided? Why did your government allow them to do that? Is your government the people?
What do you mean?
Their government.
Or is my government now?
It's our.
Oh, it's my government now.
Wait a minute.
It ain't ours. It's in your
area. Yeah, because that's probably local tax abatements, not federal.
We're not talking about your area.
Jeff.
Yeah. I'm gonna get you right to Alabama. Let me finish with Michigan first. Whirlpool probably puts in 10 times freaking more money throughout payroll than they pay in taxes. That's why.
Yeah, and
that's
not,
why
and
they do not mind.
Them,
can I finish?
None of them stay in that community. None
I don't care whether they stay in that community. That community thinks that they do because guess what? They voted in the tax abatements now, didn't they? So now,
what?
They're not going to be stupid enough. If Whirlpool pulls out of there, that community will dry up. So you go
okay,
right ahead and get upset.
If Whirlpool pulls out of there, the community's already dried up with them there. Don't run that game.
Well, like I said,
about?
it's dried up with them there, but guess what? They're still there. They still operate to some degree because Whirlpool, huge hand, puts a whole lot of dollars into that community. That's why you have corporate welfare a lot of times, because they put out much, much more than you can tax them from.
That's my last point, Jeff.
Here's my last point. Okay. Let's say that you were going to do a show about welfare in general. So not taking out food stamp. All right. Why wouldn't you do the research and then attack where the recipients of welfare hurts the majority more than it helps?
Oh,
if
I can easily do that.
Was gonna do it, well, you wouldn't be after food stamps then. That wouldn't
not,
be the welfare
I'm not
you
after.
Go after.
I'm not after food stamps. That's not what I'm after. I am doing what I do. The bottom line is this, is that we're talking about the abuses of that system and how somebody that's working hard every day can't afford to go down there. If they're just above the level where they can get a direction card or assistance, they cannot sit there and get what this man is getting. This man is leisurely living his life, whether it's a pitiful existence for him compared to us or not, but he's doing it on your back. And that's what doesn't make any sense.
Jeff. I was on food stamps for 6 months myself. I've been listening for a while to you guys. I ate shrimp, lobster. I ate what I wanted to eat with the $200. I didn't go out and sell them and get me some gas, and I spent them on food. But I was doing that while I was studying to do what I do now. I was doing this certification thing, so. I mean, it has a place. I don't care. As long as you buy food and do what you're supposed to do with it, I don't care what you buy. You guys have been making that point about what a person buys. I think the whole point, the main thing is nobody should abuse anything, be it government. I don't believe. I think, and to your point, Michigan, most of those dollars are used to, those foreign aid dollars are used to entrap governments so they're indebted to corporations. And this can be documented, and this is well documented. You know, that book, what is it, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. So, I mean, that's what they do. This foreign aid, they give you all this money. You borrow, you go, you default one, they raise your interest rate, and you'll never get out of debt. Now they come in to pump oil, they come in to pump gold, minerals out your country. But that's not America per se, and that's just the corporatocracy of certain companies and government officials, certain government officials. But that's not us as the whole country of people that are called America.
And what I'm saying is this. I understand the corporate welfare situation. It's people that, you know, government, though, is looking to succeed as a result of what they're calling corporate welfare and these other things. They want to enlarge themselves. This is what they do. Okay, because government is the one that is produces nothing and still spends and takes out. They produce not a doggone thing.
The problem is we are devolving very quickly into fascism.
Absolutely.
And because the government continually passes laws and regulations that makes it very easy for a GE or a GM to operate, but stifles all of their competition. And we've got to get a handle on this, and we have to demand better of our legislators. And we've got to stop these regulations, because from raising the minimum wage to the ADA, all of these laws that supposedly help people hurt small business. They destroy small business, because where a company like Walmart can raise the price of something by a penny and cover the cost, the price of a startup, it requires him to raise his wages or raise his costs, and it prices him out of business. And
now
we have
to
understand
that. Stick, I agree with
that.
Your last statement.
Well, see, there's two things we agree on, Michigan. We're batting 1,000 today.
But here the bottom line is this: we have to understand what we're saying and what we're doing here. I'm not begrudging poor people the direction cards. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this. No, I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. No, I'm saying this. You have to direct those monies toward these people to help them get up and out.
Nobody should be able to go year after year, as this man does, and say, I don't have a job, give me money for a year.
You know what?
No,
the government,
this is
the
not the case in Ohio, because I just researched this case. In Ohio, we have different guidelines. Each state has their own guidelines and how the program works. Him not having a residence, him being 29 and a male, he will not quite, it would be difficult for him to qualify in the state of Ohio.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I kind of feel you guys, because this is extreme. I guess it's California. California would need to revamp their laws.
Listen, we have a government system of the Internal Revenue Service that is the most vile and effective collection agency on the planet. These are people that do investigations into what mostly is people who go out and do as they're told. They do it by the book. They make their money by the book, but yet they still come under this IRS. Well, why don't we have a department that's just as effective as the IRS? Maybe, I don't know, disband the IRS to create this department to make sure that these people are on food stamps, which I don't begrudge anybody who needs them. But can we please have a system of people like we run our Internal Revenue Service and punish those that are completely and totally taking advantage of the system? It's what's killing our country.
First off, you have to have enough social workers, or you have to have people put into that. So that means the government's going to have to spend out more money to create this department. This is another department. Guys wanted to shrink government, not grow government.
We disband the IRS.
Disband them right away.
Yes. I want to repeal the income tax in all of its forms. Absolutely. It needs to be gone, because it is a political weapon. It's gone, become
so
gone from becoming
for
a revenue.
How hard did it paid for?
No,
you know
why you can't do that.
Years before we started.
Sticks. You know why you can't do that, and I think you guys are not taking a broad enough view. When you're in a capitalist society, here's one thing that is going to be for certain. You are going to have a class system where you are going to have a permanent underclass. Now, if you're going to argue with that, I want you to show me anywhere on the planet in history where you have a capitalist system
I can show you that. I can show you that right here in the United States from 1789 to 1913.
But
people moved in and out of the lower class with regularity.
You said in and out.
That's right. Certain people got rich and certain people gambled and lost everything.
So you had a cycle. So you always did have somebody in there. You always did have an underclass. It was just different.
Well, we got to get going anyway. It doesn't matter. It's all liquid. Our whole society is liquid. But the only problem is it's running back the other way now because the president is taking tons of money out of the middle class daily and telling you every day, for the middle class. But that's a lie. Read it for yourselves. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.